736 650 to register.
And gas markets could put downward pressure on prices. State Energy Minister Lily D'Ambrosio is expected to release the review today, more than 8 months after the bipartisan probe was launched. The review has been charged with ensuring the March closure of the Hazelwood Brown coal power station has not been used as an excuse by retailers to hike power prices. There are more than 25 electricity retailers and 10 gas retailers operating across Victoria. Pregnant women have been advised against taking vitamin B3 just yet, despite a recent study that says the vitamin could prevent millions of miscarriages and birth defects. The Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists says the extraordinary suggestions by researchers at the Victor Chang Institute were based on a small mouse study and have the potential to do more harm than good. The president of the Australian Medical Association, Dr. Michael Gannon, has told Macquarie we need to be wary of the results.
Nearly 90% of miscarriages are caused by chromosomal abnormalities that have got absolutely nothing to do with vitamin B3 deficiency, nor modifiable by taking any other pill or supplement.
People on blood thinning or dialysis medication are being urged to check they have the right drug after a product recall. Pfizer and Therapeutic Goods Administration have recalled a batch of heparin and lignocaine after a box that was meant to contain the blood thinner instead had lignocaine. People who take heparin or their carers should check the blister pack to make sure there are no anomalies and it matches the external packaging. Patients should contact their pharmacy or health professional with any concerns or questions. Residents will return to homes in a high-rise Sydney apartment block a week after a crane collapsed onto the side of the building, forcing a mass evacuation. Fraser's Property has confirmed residents will be allowed back into the building in Walleye Creek today after the crane was removed yesterday. Workers from contractor ProBuild used 4 mobile cranes to lift the fallen cantilever crane off the apartment block yesterday. Overseas US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says Cuba is responsible for the reported injuries to American diplomats and also now Canadian diplomats. He refused to address the details, but CBS News said diplomats and embassy employees have been treated for hearing loss following some sort of sonic injury. It's the first time US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has spoken out about this problem in the relationship between Havana and Washington.
We've not been able to determine who is to blame. We do hold the Cuban authorities responsible for the safety and security of all of our people, just as every host country has a responsibility for safety and security of diplomats in their country. So we hold the Cuban authorities responsible for finding out who is carrying out these health attacks on not just our diplomats, but as you've seen now, there are other cases with other diplomats as well.
And in the U.S., there's been violent clashes in the city of Charlottesville in Virginia, where white supremacists have been holding a protest dubbed the Unite the Right rally. This is Air News. Billionaire crusader Andrew Forrest and former Wallaby Matt Hodgson have called for the remaining ARU board members to fall on their swords following their decision to axe the Western Force. The Force are facing rugby extinction following the ARU's decision to cull the team, but the franchise has vowed to take the matter to the courts. Led by Forrest, the Force are in the process of applying for an injunction and hope to take the dispute to the Supreme Court. Melbourne has snatched a 16-13 win over the Sydney Roosters at Amy Park to maintain its firm hold on the minor premiership. Second rower Joe Stimson in his debut NRL season was the man of the moment, scoring in the 77th minute for his team to regain the match-winning lead. In the other games yesterday, Penrith beat the Cowboys and the Dragons beat the Titans. And Adelaide, our hopeful leaders Rory Sloane and Taylor Walker will be available for a huge AFL showdown with Sydney next week. The star duo pulled up sore during the Crows' 43-point win over Essendon at Etihad Stadium last night. Sloane limped from the ground late in the third quarter after Bombers defender Matt Dee fell on his left knee while attempting a smother. The gun midfielder went straight to the rooms but returned to play out the game as Adelaide claimed an 18-15-123 to 12-8-80 victory. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. mostly sunny. Light winds becoming westerly, 15 to 20 k's in the morning, then becoming light in the middle of the day. The good news is Sydney's heading for a top temperature of 21 degrees today, a lovely winter's day. Jimmy, what's the current temperature in Narrabeen and our forecast for Narromine later on today?
Ray Thomas, how good is it to have the dulcet tones of the great man back? Right now at Narrabeen, it is 9 degrees, a little bit chilly, but getting up to a top of 21 degrees. And out there at Narromine, it's going to be a beautiful day there. It's a top temperature of 20 degrees.
It's been a long year, you've worked hard, now it's time to treat yourself in Hong Kong. Leaving December 5 with Ambassador Travel, you can be trackside and witness the very best of the equine world class during International Week. All the details are looked after and it's 5-star the whole way. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday and Sha Tin on Sunday, with our Aussie speedsters hopefully out to conquer the world again in the sprint. There's tours galore including Macau, or venture to Mission Hills for some golf. In between, grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Here's Sweet 16 for Winx.
It's a Winx split.
She's a champion.
She's a Winx. Champion.
Winx is coming. Be at Royal Randwick this Saturday at Mine and Power Race Day
to see Winx's highly anticipated return.
See the world's best turf horse live as she chases her 18th consecutive win. The day will see the whole family entertained as Royal Randwick hosts free kids activities, including a Peppa Pig stage show, a jumping castle, face painting, a petting zoo, and much more. For more information, visit theatc.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Become the most prolific goal kicker in Premiership history, Cameron Smith. And he sends it over. And this wonderful player has kicked more goals than anyone else. 943 now.
Silence edition going to first seal. Dixie Blossoms first play. They're heading top gear now. Fox play and Dixie Blossoms. Zambar with the last shot. Fox play hits the lead from the fast finishing Zambar, and Fox play takes it out.
Here's the last. Okay, the left foot of LG.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Oh, the famous words of Ray Thomas before we go on air. Trust me. I tell you what, though, I do trust you, Raymond, and it's great to have you back here on a Sunday morning from 7 till 10 a.m. Before we get into what's happening on the show and what's been happening in the world of sport, welcome back, Raymond.
Thank you, James, and good morning, everyone. It's great to be back. And, well, we just got, before we went to air, the 4x100 metres relay final to end the World Athletics Championships in London. And have you ever seen such a dramatic finish to a sporting superstar's career? Usain Bolt in the final leg for Jamaica needed to do a fair bit to catch the Great Britain and American runners, and halfway down the straight on he's pulled what seems to be a hamstring and has not even finished the relay in front of a packed house at London and the world watching.
Oh,
have you seen anything like it, Jim?
I can't recall. Just incredible. When you've got the greatest athlete that's ever lived with a decorated record that will be unsurpassed, you would think it's in 100 years to see that way his finish. And just looking at the replays again here, it's just, ouch.
And I've got
and
to tell you,
out he goes.
In the build-up to the men's 100-metre final, we were actually in London just in the days leading up to that race,
yep.
And it was all about Usain Bolt.
Yeah, of course.
The whole coverage was about Usain Bolt, to a lesser extent Mo Farah, and even when he was beaten into bronze, it was still all positive about Usain Bolt, and Justin Gatlin, the winner of the men's 100 metres, got absolutely hammered by the British press.
Well, he was booed in the stadium.
It was, yeah, pretty sad. But that is as bad as it gets, Jim, because he is, as you said, probably the greatest athlete who has ever lived, arguably. What he's done for athletics, many people believe he's kept the sport alive during a very dark period of a lot of drug allegations, etc., amongst many countries. He's an extraordinary athlete, and he just didn't deserve to go out that way.
He didn't, but he did, which might form a talk topic a little bit later. We'll see about that. 1353 53 is the open line number if you want to get involved in the program. The SMS number, of course, 0419 767 272. That's 0419 SMS BSB. Already a number of people wanting to have their say about things, and we'll get to them as quickly as we can. It is a big program. Dare I say it, Raymond?
Massive?
I don't think the last three shows have been massive, but this one's massive.
Okay.
And I can't put my finger on why.
Okay.
But anyway, here
plenty
we go.
Happening.
Phil Moss up nice and early. We'll have race replays. Despite protests over the last 2 weeks, they remain in the rundown. Gerald Ryan will be on the program. Good to have Gerald on the program after two winners yesterday, including very impressive Minari, and the Everest is calling. Brett Kavanagh will be on. Oh, the plunge. We love a plunge that comes off. Had to survive a protest to do that. Zorba will be here as well. Get his take on the world of rugby league. Classic game of footy last night between 1 and 2. The Storm v. the Roosters. Michael Hawks will be along to have a chat about the win of Kingsguard. Maybe a little lucky given some of the horses that missed out there. Especially the finish of Ton Melbourne. I thought it was a very unlucky run. But we can speak to Michael about that. A Z&Z quiz. Score update, Raymond.
What is the score?
You're a little bit all at sea at this, aren't you? Yeah.
Whilst I've been away, do those results count?
Well, when Stuart Clark and Jared Middleton hosted the show, a lot of things didn't go to plan. So that one's null and void.
Okay.
That whole program's been described as null and void, I believe.
What are you saying?
I'll tell you about it off air. But subsequently, when I was here with Dave Stanley for the two programs where you're away, they do count. Dave playing the role of you.
Oh, okay.
And I was playing the role of me.
Who won those
Not very
two?
Convincingly, though. I did.
Won both.
That's correct. So, just to let you know.
So it counts, is it? Okay.
But yeah. They count. So the scoreline, Raymond.
Of course it counts.
Scoreline, Raymond, is 15-15.
Has producer Jeremy made a ruling on that?
Of course he hasn't, because otherwise he would have ruled in your favour.
Well, maybe we should ask the listeners what they think. That seems decidedly unfair. So
I'm happy to do that.
What's the quiz score now?
What the quiz score is 15-15.
Suddenly you're back in the game.
The Z&Z quiz score is 15. Mate, you go away. Pay with your own price. Our legend of the game. I'll tell you what, he's topical as well too. Brian Johnston, he's the chairman of the St George Illawarra Dragons Football Club. He's chairman of the Leagues Club as well. By the way, he's a former great player for the Dragons throughout the 1980s, played for New South Wales, played for Australia as well, and he's a great fella. Very successful business-wise, has overcome his own health issues, so we're going to have him on the program as our legend of the game. We can look forward to that. He's an old Dunny Doo boy.
Hugh Bowman territory.
Hughie Bowman territory, absolutely. Speaking of the Dragons, it's Dragons overload today. Joel Thompson. Just the try and the try assist for Joel yesterday in that
he's
big
good
win.
Player.
Yeah, he's a very good player out there on that left edge for the Dragons.
And doesn't he do great things for the sport off the field as well, Joel?
He
Thompson.
Is outstanding.
Gee, he speaks well.
Ken Stephen medalist.
Oh,
yeah.
Great ambassador for the sport.
Brilliant ambassador for the sport. By the way, you're not the only welcome return this week either.
Tanya's back.
Tanya's back, and we'll have a sports update from Tanya as well. We might get a holiday update in that as well. Just a highlight of the holiday.
Well, you haven't got enough time for the show for she saw all the castles and palaces she wanted to see. So.
Well, there you go. That's what it's about. Go to the trip. We saw your photos next to where. I love what you did in Liverpool. You went to Anfield, you went to the Beatles Museum, and you went to Mersey River. And what you can do there is tick Liverpool done.
Exactly. Yeah, that's probably right, actually. Isn't the Mersey a sight, though?
Never seen it.
It's massive.
Is it?
I was staggered by it, but anyway.
No, never seen it. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not rushing over there, I must say. Trent Lansgar.
The Beatles Museum's fantastic, but Anfield is a biblical experience almost.
Yeah.
For Liverpool supporters. Do you realise how close Goodison Park is to Anfield?
I've got no idea. It's just across the river, isn't it?
No, it's you can throw a tennis ball and hit it almost. It's that close.
Oh, right.
It's extraordinary.
Okay. Were there any tears on the tour when you say at Anfield or... Yeah. Ray?
you could say I got a bit emotional. Lords and Anfield were moving moments in my life.
There was no games being played there, were they?
No.
Just you standing next to
the Lord. You've been to Lords?
Yeah, but...
You done the tour of Lords?
No, I haven't done the tour of Lords.
It's fantastic. I sat in the long room.
Yeah, right.
There were almost tears.
Yeah, right. Did you buy yourself a tie?
I did. How'd you guess that?
Because my old man went to Lords and he bought a tie.
Yeah, I did.
I had it for years. I still got it.
And went into the...
What do they call them? Ham and eggs?
I don't know, do they?
Yeah.
Went in the visitor's dressing room and took a picture. I should show. We should tweet this out.
Yeah, that's
on the
a good
board,
idea.
On the
we
board.
Have social media on this program,
yeah.
Right?
On the board of the century scored by visiting players.
Yes.
And I made sure in my picture I've got Steve Waugh and Mark Waugh's hundreds of Lords. And I actually sent a text to Kim just to say, Kim Waugh, to say, look, we've just seen Steve and Mark on the Lords honour roll.
So how cool.
It's fantastic. And a couple of great names are not on that honour roll.
Like?
Tendulkar.
Sasha never got 100
at Lords. In a test match.
He was an ordinary player, wasn't he, really? By the way, when you mentioned Kim Waugh, where am I looking for Kim Waugh?
Good winner yesterday with King Viv.
King Viv, that's right.
Promising stayer.
Have you? Well, we spoke about, we had Kim Waugh on in your absence.
Yeah.
She was brave enough to come on with you not here.
Okay.
But we talked about King Viv, and have you seen the owners of King Viv?
No, Mark Waugh, obviously one of them.
Have a look at the owners of King Viv.
Mm.
Where are they? They're listed here. Oh, they're not listed. They don't list the owners anymore.
I can find out for you pretty quickly. Yeah.
Anyway, it's the who's who of cricketers.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Buff Luman's in there as well. And Alan Belford-Jones also is a part owner.
Okay.
So there you go. The Lord's visitors. There's the hundreds. I'm looking at it now. You know what we should do? This is great for you and me.
Yeah. Not
we should tweet it out for the listeners. We should, as I said, we now have social media on this program, which is very exciting. It's happened in the last 6 or 7 months, so that's great. Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au, he'll be on as well, and we'll have Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Son. So it's a big, big program, but we've got to get through the topics of the day. Jared Hayne.
Extraordinary interview this morning.
Jared Hayne. He has said, look, I'll go. If we can't work it out, Neil Henry and I, then I'll go. Mm. Neil Henry must have woken up this morning as light as a feather when he heard that. Because, and I was thinking about this driving home from the game yesterday. I did the Intro Super Premiership game for Fox Sports, and then was driving home, and I was thinking about the contribution that I'd seen in the first half from Jared Hayne,
yep.
Who clearly looked like, if he could be anywhere else other than University of Wollongong Oval, he'd like to be there.
Could you use the word disinterested?
That's a good way to describe it. And then I would have thought, you know what? Often they say, well, it's much easier to solve the problems of a club. It's much easier to get rid of one person, i.e. the coach, than it is the whole team. In this instance, and this was before I read Paul Kent's article last night, in this instance, I actually think there is one player you can get rid of and change the whole landscape of that club, and that player is Jared Hayne.
A superstar in Hayne.
I know he's a superstar. And when I was calling for his inclusion in the New South Wales side, and after the first game, it was a masterstroke. But the way he is... You know, I've played in sides. When Brad Fittler came to the Roosters in 1996, he was basically getting paid $1 million a year, or just short of. And, you know, getting paid so much more than anyone else. And it could have been a case of everyone gets a little bit jealous of the new guy who gets paid. But the harder it got at training, the better Brad Fittler went.
Mm-hmm.
The harder it got in games, the better Brad Fittler got. Everyone respected what he did. But it would seem Jared doesn't train hard. Jared does it, performances on the field aren't good enough. And if you're getting paid that much more than everyone else, I can understand players going, well, hang on, what's he doing?
Mm. Take this one step further.
Yes.
Okay, just say, under your scenario, Jared Hayne and the Titans depart. If you were a coach and if you were playing in another football team, would you want Jared Hayne in your team next season?
There's some coaches who would be able to make it work for him. There are some coaches. I'm thinking Bennett. I'm thinking Robinson. Bellamy wouldn't fit him. But most of these clubs wouldn't fit him under the salary cap. But even someone like Nathan Brown, I reckon, could get something out of it. But it's too hard with the salary cap. You're taking a risk. You are taking a massive risk. 1353-53 is the open line number. Just give us your talk topic, though, Raymond.
Ignominious exits from sport on the back of what we saw with Usain Bolt in that sad final run in World Athletics at the championships here, breaking down halfway down the straight in the final leg.
All right. Graham Langlands is probably the one.
Oh.
You know, he did play a few games in 1976, everyone will remember the Changa White Boots. So that's the type of thing we're looking for, and we've got a great prize to give away too. Event cinema tickets, a double pass courtesy of Prakash and the team, plus we've got a couple of two tickets, so that's two times two tickets, entry into the member stand for Winks next week for the Warwick Stakes Royal Randwick. You'll be able to win them throughout the course of the show. We'll get to that very shortly. We need to get to a break. After that, we're going to have a chat with Phil Moss. And interestingly, speaking of Anfield, I know they didn't play there, but Liverpool, bad start to the English Premier League. Just the 1 point against Watford.
At Bingley, we've got a great deal this weekend only. Spend $200 or more and you'll get a Bingley card worth 10% of your purchase.
What if I spend $4,350?
Mum, you get a Bingley card worth $435 and you can use it towards a brand new ultra-high-def TV for me.
I wouldn't do that.
It's just an example.
I should make an example for you.
This weekend only, spend more than $200 at Bingley and get a Bingley card on the spot.
Get a great deal off anything with it.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Excludes Asco and Miller. That expires 3 months from date of issue. See bingley.com.au for details.
Can't choose between your favourite runners? Place a $3 mystery box trifecta on Trackside. And if your three runners finish first, second or third in any order, you win 50% of the trifecta dividend.
Visit your local tab to play Trackside.
Gamble responsibly.
Warrawing Needy was freakishly fast at 2:149.4. Warrawing Needy was faster still at 3. Warrawing Needy was the fastest horse in the world at 4:146.4. Warrawing Needy was one of the fastest and most exciting pacers of the last decade. Warrawing Needy, standing at Urabee Start in New South Wales. Visit urabee.com.au.
Choicey with the outswinger, and it's gone in. Jackson Irvine. He nearly scored in Tehran. He has scored in Sydney. The first international goal for the young midfielder.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, this is just unbelievable.
Producer Jeremy's pulled rank, Tim.
Claims he was on the phone previously when we were talking about it. That'd be right, ringing home.
He's Paul Rank. He is the boss, you know.
Oh, I don't know how you work that out. But anyway, he's saying it's. I didn't get those 2 points when... Hey, what are you laughing at? Look at you, this sneaky competitive... Anyway, let's get to Phil Moss, because he's got to talk about some English Premier League.
Overtly competitive, Jim Smith.
Yeah, you're right.
You are.
Yeah, that's right, I am. Okay. But you're very... You're probably more competitive than me, but you just try to keep it under wraps.
Let's go to Phil. Where is Phil, by the way?
Oh, who knows? He's never in the studio anymore on a Sunday morning. G'day, Phil.
Good morning, guys. I was waiting for the banter to kick in.
Where are you, Phil?
We're up the Gold Coast. We're on our pre-season camp, so we're up here for 8 days. Got a game to play midweek and put some really hard work into the boys' legs to really step up our pre-season preparations at quite a significant level this week.
Had a big win during the week in the FFA Cup up at Darwin, I think, Phil?
Yeah, that's right, Ray. It was, a very professional performance up there in Darwin a couple of weeks ago, and with nothing less than Graham Arnold expected of the squad, and they really carried out the duties with real aplomb, and it was great to see Bobo get 4 goals and become the equal highest goal scorer in a single game in the FFA Cup with... ex-Central Coast midfielder Matt Sim. So a couple of records broken, which is what we're all about at Sydney.
All right, let's get to Liverpool's result. 3-3 with Watford away. Talk about ignominious starts to seasons.
Well, yeah, talk about kicking off our pre-season camp in depressing mode too. I watched that last night. And, it wasn't good from Liverpool, you have to say. They conceded 2 set pieces and then the equaliser at the death. From Miguel Britos, which is, look, it's controversial in some ways from the point of view that it could have been ruled offside, but I think the ball was, you'll find that it was adjudged that the ball was played square or backwards, which puts Britos onside. But look, nonetheless, it's probably a result that was nothing less than Liverpool deserved, and Watford fought hard for their points. So it's 2 points dropped for Liverpool, no doubt about it, and a point gained for Watford.
Three other games overnight, Phil. A couple of huge results. Burnley 3, Chelsea 2. Massive upset at Chelsea. And Huddersfield, where we've got the Socceroo and Aaron Moy playing, 3-0 against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, 2 assists for Aaron Moy, and he slipped into Premier League mode like he'd been there all his life.
Oh, really?
Fantastic performance. It really was. The beauty of that is he's proven he can play at that level. I guess the challenge now is that he set the bar very high in his first game. And it's a wonderful story. He left Australia as a 15-year-old. 11 years later, to chase his Premier League dream, 11 years later he finally gets his debut at the big table. And, you know, it's great news for Australian football. And obviously Aaron and his whole family will be very, very proud. But, yeah, they got the result 3-0. As I said, he had 2 assists. And you'd hate to have been a punter last night, guys, because the results were very, very difficult to tip. Chelsea 3-0 down at home to Burnley at half time. Came back to 3-2, but not enough. Gary Cahill was sent off in the 14th minute, so they had to play with 10 men for a very, very long time. But Chelsea are a really interesting one. We spoke about them on the show on Friday, and I said I don't think they can go back to back, and there's a few reasons for that. But the main one is Antonio Conte, the manager, and his comments leading into the season, his body language leading into the season. He said the squad's too skinny. So you can just sense that there's a bit of tension there between him and Abramovich. And, the first result, if you want a crystal ball, that's probably it.
Mm. No surprise, really, with Man City over Brighton and Hove Albion. But how did Matty Ryan go in that one, letting the 2 goals pass?
Yeah, look, I haven't actually seen the highlights of that game yet, but certainly it's a result that you'd expect.
Yeah.
Aguero on the score sheet. I spoke to Matty Ryan via text a couple of nights ago, and he was very, very excited about his debut. And no doubt there was a stage in the game where the ball was out of play and he probably pinched himself. but, look, he'll be much better off for that, getting the first one out of the way, and now he can settle into life as Aaron Moy has. As a Premier League player, and again, wonderful news for the Socceroos, particularly given we've got those 2 crucial qualifiers coming up in a few weeks' time.
Good point. Phil, Man United make their Premier League opener against Swan City tonight. Jimmy's already punching the heart. He's looking forward to this.
Sorry, Ray, who was that? The line's just going a bit cracked.
Sorry, exactly. But you believe both Manchester clubs will be dominant forces this season?
I do. I think... you know, the 2 Manchesters, United and City, have won 7 out of the last 11 EPL titles. Mm. Manchester United, 13 EPL titles. And to put that into context, Chelsea are next best with 5 in total. I think Mourinho has built a foundation last season that can really sustain a massive title challenge this season. And by the way, Jimmy, you've got your ears blocked.
Keep going. Sounds good, this.
But look, I think the addition of Lukaku has been absolutely... The guy is a monster. And I say that because he's got the broadest shoulders I've ever seen on a footballer. And I think those shoulders can carry the expectations of the front line and score goals regularly this season. And there's also talk that... that Zlatan Ibrahimovic could be back in November, December, and Mourinho will sign him. So if that's the case, you can imagine Lukaku scoring goals all season, someone like Ibra to come off the bench against a tiring defence, and that's where the goals will come from. But as I said, I think he's built the foundation last season. With Pep Guardiola, I know Manchester City go in as favourites, but I think Manchester United will get them for the title. And I think Pep Guardiola is under huge pressure going into this season. Obviously, they've got off to a good start, as you'd expect, against Brighton and Hove Albion. But I really do see both those clubs threatening big time for the title.
All right, yeah, we're going to watch that the whole season with interest. It's 9.5 months, isn't it, of pulsating football. All right, a bit closer to home. Sydney FC, new signing?
Nine and a half months of jet lag, Jimmy, without travelling.
Well, that's another way to look at it, yeah.
Yes, look, we're absolutely delighted. Graham Arnold and Terry McFlynn have done a wonderful job with the recruitment here at Sydney FC. And Adrian Majewski is our latest signing. And he comes in with a wealth of experience, 43 caps for the Polish national side. He's played at Euros. He's played in the Champions League. He's played in the Europa League. He's been in camp with us for a couple of days and arrived in Sydney middle of last week, and he's a wonderful guy. He really is so humble and down to earth, and he slotted straight in, and obviously the culture within our dressing room has made him feel very, very welcome, and I can't wait to see this guy lace the boots on and get stuck into training this week, because the footage of him and the process we went through to recruit him, he is a real X factor for our front line, and he's going to add something very, very special this season.
Phil, just quickly, I was going to ask where he's going to play, because primarily he's built his reputation as a winger. If you play him on the wing, which side of the park would you play him?
Yeah, well, look, primarily he's been signed as a right winger to replace Holosko and Bernie Abini. Of course, they were the two that mainly occupied that right-hand side for Sydney last season. And so that's generally where he's been recruited to play, but really he can play anywhere across the front line. Mm. He can play both wide positions. He can play up top. He can play in behind as a number 10. So he gives Arnie and the coaching staff a hell of a lot of versatility and creativity as well. So watch this guy go.
Mate, for a bloke who's been at Melba's all night, that's not a bad update.
Where's that?
Oh, please. Please.
That's the place you've got chairs in, Jimmy.
Oh, I wish. Good on you, Mossy. We'll speak next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
See you, Phil.
There he is, Phil Moss, all the way from the Gold Coast, giving us our sports update there. He likes the look of the Manchesters. So if you want to look at those prices, Manchester City to win the league this year, $2.35. Manchester United, $4.50. And they do head premiership betting at tab.com.au. This talk topic, it's gone gangbusters, Raymond. But this is probably a fair point from Master Monkey. Talk topic could struggle. If you know what ignominious means, I reckon you're listening to the wrong show. Well, to tell you, let you know a little secret, Master Monkey. When Ray said ignominious exits from sport on the back of Usain Bolt, I went, yeah. What's ignominious mean, Ray? You're the schmuck. Thanks. I agree. So what does it give you?
Embarrassing, undignified, all that sort of thing.
Okay, so we get this. Ray, surely the ultimate ignominious exit from Australian sportsmen and women was the Don.
Don Bradman, 48.
Zero.
Bold, second ball. Eric Holley's.
Second ball duck.
Point.
So there you go. That's a point. Let's go to the open line now. Anthony is there. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning. Before I give you my nomination for the ending, can I welcome back Ray?
Good morning,
Anthony. Congratulating for his award on Friday.
Thanks, Anthony.
Hasn't been mentioned yet, but here we've got this one from Judy, makes mention of it, and then we get congratulations to Ray on his Racing Riders Award, the Chalk Jockey.
Let me say, you need awards to keep Dave Stanley at bay. He was pretty good over the last couple of weeks, I have to say.
I've heard that, yeah.
And Jimmy, did you notice that the price that Telly went up when Ray was on holidays? I inquired, they told me it was helped to pay for Ray's holidays. I had no objections, David. You got any, I don't think anyone's got any objections to that.
Oh, I actually think they kicked the tin around at the Telegraph just to get Ray on his holiday.
Probably get rid of him, probably.
Ray, Tanya told me he didn't go to Steve Gerrard's restaurant. What's the story?
To where?
Stephen Gerrard's restaurant.
Oh, no.
Didn't go there?
Did go to Anfield, though, so that
you
was...
You want to risk the food poisoning?
Yeah, very careful, me, Anthony. I'm very careful what I eat.
My nomination, Ray, is sort of similar to what happened to Dulcifer.
Yeah, 79 Melbourne
Dulcifer.
Yeah,
that's
broke
a good one.
His hip on the home turn.
Yeah. Yeah. They came back from that, unfortunately.
I remember that. I was at primary
put
school.
Down after that, yeah.
Did you know the great Manicato?
Yes.
Is known as a great sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the classic example, you know, he's a good trainer, so they can train the horse to run any distance.
Yep.
Do you remember that Manicato got beaten the very last ride in the Australian Cup?
Yes, by great Dulcifer. Phenomenal
so
performance.
Take Dulcifer out, Manicato wins over 2,000 metres and, you know, one of the greatest sprinters of all time. So, you know,
yep.
People forget that.
Good point, Anthony.
One of the most extraordinary finishes
ever you've seen by Dulcifer to run down Manicato. That's contention for a prize, Anthony called there.
Yeah, well, why don't we send him a couple of CDs?
We've got CDs, isn't
there? Yeah. No, look, producer Jeremy just says no problem with the CDs.
Okay, a prize pack coming Anthony's way.
Courtesy of Sony Music. Yep. Let's go to Chris. Hello, Chris.
How you going, guys?
Morning, Chris.
Is it true, Ray, you only came back to accept the award and the kudos and you'll be back on a plane to Paris in a few days' time?
No, coincidence.
So just, there we go.
There's a prize pack coming your way, Chris.
Chris, just to let people know, it was the Rod Allen Award for Excellence in Sports Journalism at the Kennedy Awards.
I should say Rod Allen was a former friend of mine who tragically passed away.
Which would have made that... very emotional
it
for you.
It did, and it was a terrific night. Tanya and I were umming and ahhing about going because we're pretty tired after arriving Thursday, but we went, and on our table was Rod's mother,
oh, really?
Lovely Diane, and his sister Stephanie. So it was it was great just to be there in their presence, and it just brings back memories of a wonderful journalist and wonderful bloke in Rod Allen.
Hey, Jimmy, I want you to explain to me the Fifita not intentionally kicking the ball rule. I didn't know that was a rule. When it was said, it didn't matter if the ball hit the ground or not because he didn't mean to kick it.
So, now, this was on Friday night.
Yeah, I've never heard of that rule before.
Mate, I have to make an admission here, Chris. I haven't been 100% over the last couple of days. Went to bed
struggling,
at 8,
Chris.
Went to
time.
Bed at 8:30 on Friday night.
And you're still not well, are you, mate?
Oh, I'm okay. Mm. I'm sorry I've missed that.
Okay.
I watched all three games yesterday, but I've missed that one last night on Friday.
Well, I just don't know the rules of league anymore. But just on your topic, I'll go a year after Dulcify in 1980. Muhammad Ali, first signs of Parkinson, and he went into the ring against Larry Holmes, who at the time was just a machine. Dundee threw the towel in, which is the first time, of course, it ever happened. And I think it was described as watching an autopsy in front of your eyes, you know.
You know, he fought again after that, Chris?
He fought one more time.
Trevor Burbick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, he was shot. And to go in the ring against Holmes, because Holmes was just such a great fighter himself, but that was just, embarrassing.
How the tide turned, though, Chris, because a few years earlier, Holmes was Ali's training partner.
Yeah.
He beat him up for fun.
Yeah.
5 or 6 years earlier, but anyway, it was a very sad exit. Prize pack coming Chris's way.
Boxes on the rise, boxes on the slide. Great call, Chris. Yeah, another prize pack coming Chris's way. You're in a generous mood, aren't you?
Well, we're back in harness, Jimmy Smith, and away we go.
Yeah, you're right. We've got to get everyone in a good mood, because coming up next after the break, we've got race replays, and despite all our work in your absence, they still remain on the run sheet.
At Bingley, we've got a great deal this weekend only. Spend $200 or more and you'll get a Bingley card worth 10% of your purchase.
What if I spend $4,350?
Mum, you get a Bingley card worth $435 and you can use it towards a brand new ultra-high-def TV for me.
I wouldn't do that.
Just an example.
I should make an example for you.
This weekend only, spend more than $200 at Bingley and get a Bingley card on the spot.
Get a great deal off anything with it.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Excludes ASCO and Mueller. Card expires 3 months from date of issue. See bingley.com.au for details.
For the past 6 years, Slats and I have told you about the exotic delights of Hong Kong. Now here's your chance to sample the sights and sounds of one of the world's truly great weeks of racing with Ambassador Travel. And do it in five-star style. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday. And on Sunday, you're off to Sha Tin for four Group 1s in the climax of the Turf World Championships. In between, you can shop, cruise the harbour, head to Macau, play golf at Mission Hills, or just relax. Why not extend and take in mainland China? Call Ambassador Travel right now, 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Here's Sweet 16 for Winx.
It's a Winx blitz.
She's a champion, Winx. Champion
Winx. Winx is coming. Be at Royal Randwick this Saturday at Might and Power Race Day
to see Winx's highly anticipated return.
See the world's best turf horse live as she chases her 18th consecutive win. The day will see the whole family entertained as Royal Randwick hosts free kids activities, including a Peppa Pig stage show, a jumping castle, face painting, a petting zoo, and much more. For more information, visit the atc.com.au.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Race replay time. Welcome back to the show. Dare I say it, Jim, but the big race replay the nation's going to watch the next couple of days, Sally Pearson. She
Absolutely.
Has won gold this morning in London, the same venue where she won her Olympic gold 5 years ago. A great comeback story by Sally Pearson to win the 100 metres gold medal, because she had been battling injury and poor form for the last couple of years. So great news for Australia, but in particular for Sally Pearson.
30 years of age, too. Beat Dawn Harper-Nelson.
Who won the gold in Rio. So.
Won the gold in...
Beijing,
2008.
Yeah, 2008. Okay.
There you go. But great win, Sally Pearson. Well done.
Fantastic stuff. Good to be at Rose Hill yesterday. We saw some promising horses potentially will make an impact in the spring carnival. We kick off our first foul race replay. So Tab Highway, Brett Kavanagh, fantastic training performance, producing another sin on debut and landing a massive betting plunge.
battling to the home turn, and another sin held together by Brown. Leads from Lifesaver. Surprise Party's caught three wide, followed by Zara Youthful. Prince Jacko between runners, the Never So Serious, and the White Face Supertonic heads the rest into the straight now. And another sin held together from Lifesaver, the outside. They're broken three lengths clear from Prince Jacko, the Never So Serious, at the 250. And another sin. Brown starts to feel for it now. Anglin's desperate on Lifesaver. Has another sin got a kick? Lifesaver is drawing level. Nose and nose to the line. There's plenty hinging on this. Another sin's going to win it. Another sin, the first debutante to win a highway, just edged out Lifesaver.
The first debutante to win a highway, plenty hinging on it, said Darren Flindell. You bet. $14 into $3.20, tab fixed odds. So someone did very well. We'll speak to Brett Kavanagh very shortly in the program so we can ask him how things went. I thought that another sin rolled out early in the straight, and I thought it's in the protest, I thought, oh, I must have been lucky to win that. You think differently, Roman?
No. The head-on definitely showed that the initial interference early in the straight was Lifesaver rolling in onto another sin.
Okay.
And then there was another contact later in the race, but it was a very slight brush, and the stewards dismissed the protest by Lifesaver, and I think they made the right call.
Some very relieved punters.
There was, yeah, massive plunger. Into the third, the Premier's Cup Prelude. This is a really promising horse. Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott have got this horse absolutely low flying, beats him.
Loyalty Man's hooking to the outside to give chase, and further back to Sold in a Swing, 300 out, and Arbison's got a healthy lead. Classic Uniforms grinding away in second. Then came Loyalty Man. He can't do much more. Sold in a Swing's closing up well, but five lengths off the leader, Arbison, is well clear inside the final 100 metres. Sold in a Swing continues a long run looking for the Quinella spot, but here's a big win, and one of the first of the farewell presents for Tommy Berry. Arbison won it by four lengths to Classic Uniform. Sold in a Swing third. I think Centre Pivot held fourth.
Been up for a while. What's the future hold now for Arbitsum?
Look, I think he's one of those horses that you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. You just don't know where he's going to go, Jim, because he's winning, mixing his distances. He's winning everywhere.
Yes.
A month ago, you would have said he couldn't run beyond 1,600 metres at a higher level. He's just run 1,800 metres in class record time in a Premier's Cup Prelude. He'll definitely go to 2,000, and he's trained by Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. Who's to say he couldn't go into a race like the Metrop, which the Premier's Cup Prelude generally is a lead up to. So
whenever I hear that expression, round peg, square hole, it always reminds me of Jack Gibson, who had a great quote. He went for the job at the Roosters in 1966 as a coach first time, and he missed out. They ran last, didn't win a game that year, the next year. And the reason he didn't get the job is one of the board members said, we can't fit a round peg in a square hole. And Jack's comment was, I don't know if I'm the round peg or the square hole. Every time I hear it now, I think
he was amazing, wasn't he?
That's a great way to look at it.
Short, sharp, sweet.
Yep, brilliant. Absolutely.
Yeah. Minari, gee, how good was he, Jim? This is a star.
Trekking is trucking along just behind them. Lights between runners. Minari's coursing pretty deep. Then came I Am Excited and Diamond Tathagata's last. Siege of Quebec leads into the straight from Overshare. Trekking needs a bit of room. It's just getting it. Minari with a big white face. The Schnitzel Colt is letting down well. It's Siege of Quebec in front. Minari moves up on the outside. Trekking into the clear now. Minari gets to the front from Siege of Quebec. It's a Minari a half in front from Siege of Quebec. Trekking goes to third, but Minari in full bloom in the Roseblood. He's back, and Minari goes on to beat Siege of Quebec. Trekking ran third, followed by
Minari in full bloom in the Rosebud. We like that. Gerald Ryan up on the program very shortly. So Minari is now an equal favourite, $11, with Invader, Kementari, and Pariah in the Golden Rose. Of course, that's going to be run on Saturday, September 23. And then if we get to the Everest, Raymond, Chautauqua still leading in that market at $4.60, but Minari now in there at $15. And you would think there would be people with slots be talking to Gerald Ryan.
Yep.
So we'll have a chat to Gerald about that.
And he did say yesterday that that has already happened. So
And
he believes that Minari is essentially a sprinter, but could go to the Golden Rose at 1,400 metres and has 3 weeks back into the Everest. So we'll talk to Gerald again very shortly about that to see what he's thinking.
Think about the Everest. What is it? Is it a weight for age or is it a handicap?
Weight for age, 1,200 metres,
Right.
So he'll get in with about 52 top of my head. So that's
a terrific weight for a big horse, right?
Strong colt he is. He's about 570 kilos or something. He's massive. Kingsguard, gee, you'd love to own him. He always runs a good race, and there he was yesterday. He beat some promising horses. In the spring preview, there'll be some horses who finished behind Kingsguard who'll pay to follow as well.
And Tom Melbourne is trucking along in third, just looking for a bit of room now with Lunar Rise holding its spot on the outside. Then Kingsguard from Etymology. Washington Heights is all strung up behind Kingsguard. It's going to need some luck, the favourite. Oxford Poet in front from That's a Good Idea. Tom, he can't get a crack at them at the moment. Tom Melbourne's bolting. Etymology gets going. Washington Heights is all strung up. It needs Chopper Rescue. Etymology the outside. Goes up on the outside at Kingsguard. That's a Good Idea. Kingsguard hits the lead, edging clear, Tom Melbourne's out late, too late, Kingsguard beat a desperately unlucky Tom Melbourne.
Then well, came no Etymology. Complaints on the right of Jay Ford on Kingsguard, maybe other complaints elsewhere, but Tom Melbourne finished like a steam train.
Third defence, couldn't get out, just couldn't get one out. One of those things in racing.
Washington Heights a little bit the same, although I thought Tom Melbourne finished stronger.
Well, Washington Heights have got clear galloping room, Jim. Yeah. Tom Melbourne did late and showed a really good burst of speed to get through and run Kingsguard to a narrow margin. Washington Heights is still trying to get out. Etymology's run to run third. Don't rule him out as a potential spring player as well. He hasn't raced for over a year. He was a dual classic place getter 2 seasons ago. It was a great return over a short trip. And the run of Saracen, on face value, you may have felt a fraction disappointing, but watching the replay carefully, he changed stride a couple of times.
Right.
His best work was the last 100 metres. He's a promising horse. I think 3 or 4 horses out of that race who finished behind the winner will be horses to follow.
Just on Tom Melbourne, obviously the distances didn't really suit.
Yep.
What is his best?
He's a stayer. Which
now that we've got him, he's in Waller's yard for the first prep.
Yeah, and interestingly, Chris Waller's taken all the gear off him, the blinkers and everything else, and gone back to basics, and he raced pretty tractably yesterday. It was a promising sign. As his distances increase, he's a high-cruising speed stayer.
Yeah.
A lot of talent, and if they can harness that talent, he'll win a good race. Flemington yesterday, the Ori Star generally... It's the forerunner of the Spring Carnival. Always a good race, and it was a good winner yesterday in Haydock.
400 metres to go. Manuel and Rudiger without deeper on the track. Haydock under a hold. Gran Rosso's trying to get involved. Flippin' and Snitson's also getting through with 200 metres to go. Canny Essence bursting through with I Am A Star. Plenty of hopes. It's Haydock just in front. Canny Essence from last and Gran Rosso. Gran Rosso and Haydock's lifting now. Curry rides hard. Canny Essence comes at it. Haydock, he's back. Beat Canny Essence, Gran Rosso. And fourth, I Am A Star.
Haydock is back. And that's exciting too. For the punters, where do we think Haydock is looking at?
Oh, you like to think, you know, race like the Epsom, possibly, Toorak. You know, why wouldn't he go to a Cox Plate? You know?
Well, they're all staying away for the Cox Plate. Apparently there's a mare running in it.
What's her name? You've got to line up against her.
$1.40?
Yeah, she's back next week.
She's back next week. Yeah. By the way, we've got tickets to give away to that. We'll do that in the following hour and the hour after that.
Okay.
So,
how exciting.
But they're all avoiding her.
They are.
To a degree. How can you avoid a Cox Plate? Surely
you can't.
You're there.
They'll line up that
day. Yeah.
It is $3.5 million at stake. Yeah.
What did she win the Cox Plate by in 2015?
Was it 7 lengths or 6?
What did she win the Cox Plate by in 2016?
Oh, hang on. It was 4 lengths and then 7, wasn't it? I think.
Right.
Remember?
So, based on that, she's going to win this one by 10 lengths.
Oh, is that your theory? Isn't
well, well, she came back. She won a trial the other day, Raymond.
Which is
extraordinary. She never wins a trial. She never wins a trial, so there you go.
Exciting. Back next Saturday, Warwick Stakes, the Great Mare Winks.
Yes, she is. We'll have a few of those tickets to give away, as I mentioned. What about Ben Cousins? This is talking about ignominious exits. Great playing career, but we all know what happened after that. That's from Steve. That's a good one. Handyman from French's Forest, ignominious exit. Maradona.
Good one, yes.
See, there are some good ones coming through. Yeah, a couple of tickets to give away to Event Cinemas, too, to the best... contribution to the program. Keep them coming in, 1353-53. We'll take a break now. After that break, we'll have a chat with Gerald Ryan.
Get your entries in now for the Inglis Melbourne August Thoroughbred Sale. It's the ideal time to sell your racing and breeding prospects before the spring. August 25 at Oaklands Junction. Supplementary entries close August 18. Visit inglis.com.au.
Join the Dynamic Syndications Gay and Adrian team. We're offering a fabulous filly by Medaglia d'Oro. Sire of 103 stakes winners, 17 at Group 1 level, including the Gay Train Slipper Sensation Vancouver from Catalan Bay. Winner of 3 races in Group 2 performer, second dam Kim Angel was a Group 1 Derby winner.
She's very much like Vancouver. She's got size, length, and there's something about her that all of us like.
Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Werther is right up to the task and he sweeps to the lead, getting past Blazing Speed, deeper out Eagle Way, then Gold Mount Elaine Charisma inside the furlong. Werther bloke clear from Blazing Speed, then Eagle Way, but Werther...
Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Jim, I know I tend to get a little bit excited sometimes when I get back on deck and you see a horse like Minari win, but sometimes you have to trust your eye. That acceleration he showed in the straight yesterday is... that's a really good horse in the making, and there's so much upside to him.
I thought you were going to tell me a Roger Federer story, but...
Oh, no, well...
Anyway.
This is the important part of the show.
What?
Yeah, we've got...
Well, tell me when the unimportant parts are on.
Very, very good point. I'll defer to your better judgment. But look, we've got Gerald Ryan online, and it's great that he's joined us this morning, because I think he'll be, there'll be a spring in his step, and rightly so, because... Good morning, Gerald. This is a smart colt, isn't it, Minari?
Yeah, nice horse, eh? Yeah, nice horse, yeah.
And as I said yesterday, there's so much more improvement to come. I know we're at the start of the season. It's the start of a new season for these horses. But when he walked into the yard, you say, how much has he grown since his two-year-old campaign?
Oh, he's probably only grown taller by about three-quarters of an inch, but he has developed a lot, you know.
Yeah. Hulking colt. Yeah.
Can it be a bit of a concern, Gerald, when they put on that much weight and you just wonder whether they can still... cover the distance, or generally speaking, is it that power that it gives them?
No, well, I'd like to see him do a little bit from 2 to 3 sort of thing. They've got to, of course, they keep growing until they're 4-year-old, but he needed to put some body up a little bit from the autumn, which he did do, yeah.
Yeah, and we know the plans are now looking at something like the Everest, the Golden Rose, obviously there, in the meantime as well, but the fact that you think it, the horse can take on into those open classes with that weight for age is part of the, because he is such a big, strong horse?
Yeah, he's a big, strong horse, and you'd think, you know, they get him good at the weights, and you know, I reckon there's quite a lot of smart 3-year-old colts around this. Mm. Yeah, I reckon they, from the autumn to the spring, they had the really good improvement left in them, I reckon. You know, whether those fillies or not can improve, but that were better than the colts last in the autumn, I don't know. But I do reckon some of the colts are going to improve a long way. Mm.
And you've got 3 of them, Gerald. Almost an embarrassment of riches. A lot of trainers like to be in your shoes this spring. Minari, Condor Heroes, Trapeze Artists, as you said yesterday, one of probably your biggest headache in coming weeks is trying to keep them apart as much as possible.
Yeah, well, they're going to clash somewhere along the way. They have to, but, you know, it's just which they're 3 different horses and they take 3 different paths to, towards the Golden Rose. And I was thinking about Minari. I was just thinking that last night and again this morning that he need three runs prior to the Golden Rose. You know, you 3 weeks now or... a month to the run to the Rose and then 2 weeks to the Golden Rose. Or you go, like I was thinking, San Domenico Golden, run to the Rose and then the Golden Rose. So, just, you know, you go into the Golden Rose, your 4th run, well, that's probably about it for the spring, you know. So you just might have to do a bit of rethinking and just give him one more run between now and the Golden Rose. And
you can back up. Yeah.
And then if you did want to go on late in the spring, well, you've got enough time to do it, you know.
Mm. A win too yesterday with the Pharaoh, Snitzel horse, Snitzel Colt Minari. You're renowned as a trainer, a great trainer of Snitzel offspring. What is it? Is there a commonality about them? Are there differences between the horses, Gerald? What makes you find that success with those horses?
I don't know. It's perhaps just why my training suited the stallion and might suit his horses, his foals, but I don't do anything different. You train them all as individuals and you don't do anything different with them than what you do to any other horses. I'm just lucky to have had a few schnitzels that go all right, you know?
And this bloke does too, the Pharaoh. Gerald, like he's lightly raced and I use that expression, a lot of upside. I think there's a fair bit of upside with him as well.
Yeah, well, he's been a good, honest horse. Like, he's been to the races 7 times. Only time he's finished first, worst and second was on a heavy 10 first up when he probably needed the run, you know. So he's a good, honest horse. He's going to get through his grades and might win a little black tie stakes race somewhere one day, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gerald, appreciate your time this morning.
Exciting times.
Yeah, well done with Minari. It is exciting. And with those big races coming up, the Golden Rose, of course, equal favourite there, and then a $15 chance. Oh, just on that, the Everest, there was speculation there was contact prior to the run yesterday. I'd imagine, has the phone been ringing a little bit more in the last 16 hours?
No, not really. Not really, no. Everest, well, there's plenty of money to be won. It's 3 year olds, you know. Everest, you know. I mean, what's the winter race is going to the Everett, so yeah, he just played by his first name, I think. Well, yesterday's run would be trying to win Group 1. Get your own age on your own track and then worry about things after that.
I think with the Everest, with those slot holders, Gerald, they can sit back and just wait for the form horses now. There's a couple of months to go. There's 7 slots basically locked in.
Yeah, the other way is if you've got the form horse, you can sit back and wait for the best offer.
Correct.
That's right.
Yeah, correct. So a bit of toing and froing. Gerald, look, exciting times for the stables. I said earlier, coming up for the spring, you've got a lot of talent there, and I think Minari's going to be leading the charge. Congratulations on yesterday, and thanks for joining us this morning, Gerald.
Okay, no worries. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, mate.
There he is, Gerald Ryan, a winner yesterday with the Faro, but probably most impressively with Minari and that chance. There's $10 million up for grabs.
You'd be going there.
Yeah, but Gerald's probably playing it. You know, if I've got a horse that's flying, wins the Golden Rose and is flying, then you come and speak to me.
Exactly.
And what's that deal you offered me?
He's in a good position.
No, actually, I'm going to look at this deal because it's a little bit better.
On our talk topic, I love this one. Hi, boys. Mal Meninga's exit from politics was a great moment in political sport history. This night. It was very good.
Exit. Yeah.
Remember
it was a political career that lasted about 38 seconds, didn't it?
Is that the length of time?
I think roughly.
Canberra radio interview?
Yeah, Canberra radio interview. So there you go. Good one. Who would it come in? The Snob.
The Snob. He's in the running.
There you go, Snob. Like, yeah, you're in the running. You're in the running for one of the good nicknames on the program too. Well done. 13:53:53. Now, for the first time, we say good morning again after an absence of 3 weeks to Tanya.
Good morning.
Welcome back, Tan.
First thing I did when I walked in was check the roster. I'm still on it, so that's a good thing.
Am I still there, Tan?
You just never know when you go away.
I didn't check that one, no.
The problem.
But the racing continues, and racing in New South Wales today is at Narromine and Wagga. We'll start with Narromine. The weather is fine. The track a good 4. The rail is true, and there are 22 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Out of race 2, number 3, Dooley Star, 11, Love's Glory, 12, Mon Petit Filly, and 16, Rawson Crossing, 3, 11, 12, and 16. Race 3, 15, Genetics, 16, Moralto, 17, Knight Espun, and 18, Bella LaBelle, 15, 16, 17, and 18. To race 4, take out 8, Dynamite Dan, 9, Redirect, 13, Squared, 15, Our Girl Charlie, and 17, Stato, 8, 9, 13, 15, and 17. Race 5, number 1, Artillery, 8, Head to Toe, 14, Chazanel, 17, Irish Spy, and 18, Blue Genesis, 1, 8, 14, 17, and 18. Race 6 is clear. Race 7, number 8, Huswick, and 11, Captain Scott, 8 and 11. And race 8, take out 13, 3, Ra, and 14, Return Journey, 13 and 14, out of race 8 at Narromine. To Wagga, the weather is fine. The track a heavy 8. The rail is out 4 metres from the 1400 to the winning post to the remainder and 11 scratchings. Race 1, take out number 8, Clear Sailing. Excuse me, everyone there. Couldn't find the cough button. Struggling a bit here. Yeah, race 1, take out number 8, Clear Sailing. Race 2, number 7, Brightly Goes. Race 3 is clear. Race 4, number 6, Charlie's Hero. 16, Love and Desire. 17, Eliza Starr, and 18, Captain Dan. 6, 16, 17, and 18 out of race 4. Race 5, number 1, Poor Corner, and 3, Run, Hoff, Run. 1 and 3 out of the 5th. Race 6, take out 2, Sarah Sentinel, and number 3, Butler, Butler. 2 and 3 out of race 6. And out of race 7, number 14, Fire Spark.
Just got there.
Hang on. 14 out of race 7. Fire Spark from race 7, as I said, at Wagga.
All that traveling.
What a shocker.
How are we going to go with the sports update?
I have no idea.
Does netball semi-final get a run in the sports update?
No, we had a shocker as well.
Flogged. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah, so whilst I've been away...
I was going to say, do you feel your 3-week preparation in the UK was appropriate for your semi-final?
I'll tell you one thing. You can be as fit as anything, but if you don't have that match fitness, you're stuffed.
Back to the field
basically.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. Like we did training, didn't we, while we were overseas? And we walked 1,000 kilometres, but it doesn't work. If you're not playing, you're not match fit.
Yeah.
Good point. Well done, Tan.
A lesson for the kids out there.
Yeah, exactly. Raymond, tips.
A couple of quick tips, yes. At Narromine Cup Day, Jim. Yes. Race 2, number 6, Lady Sejaline. Should be the best bet of the day. In the Narromine Cup, race 7, number 5, Present Sense. Very hard to beat. Uh-huh. And at Wagga, a couple of horses I like here. In race 3, number 1, Benno's Boy. And race 4, number 2, I think it's pronounced Kruanui. Kruanui,
I'll go with you on that one. Okay, so we'll put them out on social media as well because we've got the news coming up very shortly indeed. So well done on that, Raymond. They've been missed, the tips on a Sunday morning, I must say. They have been missed by the listeners. Peter Peters, he hasn't been missed. That's because he hasn't been away. If he was away, he would be missed. You know what I mean. He's up next.
US President Donald Trump has again warned North Korea they will be in big, big trouble if anything happens to Guam. President Trump also apparently wants to hear Kim Jong-un make some of the statements issued by the North Korean press agency. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff.
Guam has issued advisories to the people living on the island as to what to do if North Korea follows through with its promise of launching 4 missiles. U.S. President Donald Trump has issued a fresh warning.
I feel that they will be very safe. Believe me, they will be very safe. And if anything happens to Guam, there's going to be big, big trouble in North Korea.
He says American allies, South Korea and Japan, are reassured because at least he's doing something, suggesting again that the current North Korea crisis is somehow the fault of previous administrations. When asked about the latest statement from the North Korean press agency, saying that the U.S. is nothing but a lump that could be pounded into jelly, President Trump said he wants to hear from Kim Jong-un himself. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Meantime, Australia's former foreign minister Bob Carr is urging a parliamentary debate after the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said if North Korea attacks America, then Australia will invoke the ANZUS Treaty and enter the conflict. Mr. Carr has told the ABC the prospect of sending troops to the Korean Peninsula deserves extensive consultation with Parliament.
I think the Prime Minister's tone has been very imperfect. I can't think of any Australians who want to be joined at the hip with this American president, not even conservative Australians, not even those who are the strongest supporters of the US alliance, would find that a happy concept.
A Melbourne man jailed in China for promoting gambling has been released. The Crown Resort's head of international VIP gambling, Jason O'Connor, has served a 10-month sentence in Shanghai and was released from prison yesterday. O'Connor was sentenced to 10 months in prison and fined $390,000 after he and 18 other Crown Resort staff pleaded guilty to charges of illegal promotion of gambling in mainland China. Mr. O'Connor is the last of 3 Australian Crown employees to be released. The assault of 2 police officers in regional Western Australia has sparked a union plea to the Premier. An off-duty officer was allegedly bashed on his way home from work at Kununurra and needed hospital treatment for cuts and bruises. In a separate incident at Kalgoorlie, an officer was kicked in the neck while loading a man into a police van. WA Police Union President George Tilbury said yesterday he was horrified by the level of violence directed to those who simply are doing their job to protect the community and that the Premier needs to consider the dangers in connection with an officer's pay and conditions. And a driver has been charged with deprivation of liberty after he allegedly drove a woman across Brisbane against her will and refused to let her out of the car. The 25-year-old woman was using a ride-sharing service to get to Fortitude Valley last night when it is alleged the driver refused to pull over, instead driving for more than an hour to South Brisbane. A 45-year-old man has been charged with 1 count of deprivation of liberty and is expected to appear in the Brisbane Magistrates Court on September 5. This is AIR News. The West Coast Eagles beat Carlton last night 15-10-100 to 12-11-83 at Subiaco Oval in front of a crowd of just over 30,000. The Eagles appeared set for an easy victory after opening up a 35-point lead late in the second quarter, but aided by a strong breeze, Carlton booted the next 6 goals to open up a shock 6-point advantage. West Coast defender Jeremy McGovern says he's relieved the team improved in the fourth quarter.
The wind was probably a couple of goal breeze, but that's no excuse. But they did jump us there for a bit and got on top. But I think we bounced back in that last quarter and played a better four-quarter effort.
St George Illawarra has revived its finals hopes with a 42-16 victory over the embattled Gold Coast Titans at Jubilee Oval. With their season on the line, the Dragons hauled themselves back into the top eight with a 7-3 triumph. In the other two games yesterday, Melbourne celebrated a 16-13 win over Sydney at Amy Park, and the Panthers beat the Cowboys 24-16 at Pepper Stadium. And India's Shikhar Dhawan smashed his 600 and added 188 in an opening partnership with KL Rahul before Sri Lanka's spinners fought back to halt the visitors' progress in the third and final test. India reached the close of play on 6 for 329 after losing no wickets in the first session. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz Grenache by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Spring into spring early at Amber and save 20% off store-wide on tiles, pavers, stone and selected Super Saver indoor tile ranges at 30% off. Ends today. If you're off to the airport, Mars Street and Airport Drive is heavy at the moment as you approach International Terminal, but still flying okay. In Eastern Creek, look out for a car broken down on the M4 at the M7 and major road closures, special event clearways in place for city to surf in the CBD and the eastern suburbs. Avoid both if you can. Progress has been made. The M4 widening is now complete. Tolling starts this Tuesday between Homebush and Parramatta. Get your e-tag at myetoll.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
I think it'd be a supportive environment. For Sydney, yeah, exactly. Mostly sunny. Light winds becoming westerly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the morning, then becoming light in the middle of the day. Mostly sunny, 21 degrees. Right. What about at Woollahra right now and at Wagga Wagga today?
You know, it's all mindset, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I tell you what's a mindset. I've got to prepare myself mentally to come in here every Sunday. That's a mindset.
You're a hard man.
There it is, code again. We know what hard man's code for.
Current temperature in Woollahra, 13 degrees, warming up nicely for a beautiful winter's day here in Sydney. Down at Wagga, they're racing here this afternoon. Currently, it's only 3 degrees, Jim. Cool start as usual in the Riverina, but heading for a top temperature of 17, partly cloudy, but a sunny day mostly in Wagga.
Most say Hong Kong, we say Honkers. Now's your chance to experience a trip of a lifetime. Departing Tuesday, December 5 with Ambassador Travel. World-class racing, five-star luxury. I guarantee you a Wednesday night you'll never forget. That's racing under lights in Happy Valley. All the action unfolding from the luxury of a corporate box. Catch your breath, it's on again. The big one, the World Championship of Turf at Sharks Inn on Sunday, December 10. Hopefully our best sprinters taking on the rest of the world. There's the shopping, extensions to Beijing or Shanghai, and golf at Mission Hills. Call Ambassador Travel right now. 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, halftime at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
At Bingley, we've got a great deal this weekend only. Spend $200 or more and you'll get a Bingley card worth 10% of your purchase.
What if I spend $4,350?
Mum, you get a Bingley card worth $435 and you can use it towards a brand new ultra-high-def TV for me.
I wouldn't do that.
Just an example.
I should make an example for you.
This weekend only, spend more than $200 at Bingley and get a Bingley card on the spot.
Get a great deal off anything with it.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Excludes ASCO and Mueller. Card expires 3 months from date of issue. See bingley.com.au for details.
Oh, look out! Walker is kicked into vacant space. The bounce is favourable for Greg Inglis to score on one leg.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Second hour of it, and we are looking forward to what's coming up this hour. Peter Peters very shortly, Brett Kavanagh, Michael Hawkes, and we'll have the ZNZ quiz. Score update?
What is the score update?
15-all?
Massive controversy in that.
Score update 15-all, and we'll also chat with Dean Bulldog Ritchie. So it's the quiz courtesy of ZNZ. So it's all very
Don
very
Carlton
busy.
Had his
Oh, yeah. What did Don from Carlton have? Because as soon as you tell me, I'll ignore it.
The previous two quizzes were rort, and like the Melbourne premierships, should be expunged from the record books.
Oh, no, you've left out the rest. Welcome back, Ray. You have been missed. You provide the intellect and humility to the program. The previous two quizzes were a rort. And like the Melbourne premiership, should be expunged from the record books. Don from Carlton. So, yeah.
Jeremy's given
Don's
a standing
ovation. You know what Don's done? Don's very bitter about the way things are transpiring for his team, although they had a win yesterday. It was against the Titans. So, they're going to miss the eight. And I think he likes to deflect that.
Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Prize pack going Don's way.
Yeah.
Producer Jeremy. Yep.
Look at you. All sneaky. Now, I've got to make mention of a great story. It's a big story in the Sun Herald today. Benji Marshall back to the Tigers. It's been confirmed by the West Tigers overnight, confirmed by Benji Marshall in speaking with the Sun Herald and Danny Wilder, the columnist there, that he will be back. That is huge. On a day when they're going back to Leichhardt today with a huge game against the Seagulls, which, by the way, I think is a danger game for the Seagulls.
It is, yeah.
I think this is massive news. And if West Tigers fans want to give
sons.
Us a, yeah, one of their greatest, give us a call on 1353 53. I tell you, you'd be interested in it. Our next guest, Zorba, not least for the reason that his Seagulls do go to Leichhardt today. Good morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Welcome back, son.
Thanks, Pete. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm really good. Leichhardt today, big test for any side that goes there. I hate the place. Got my jaw broken twice there, so it's not a happy hunting ground.
Is that right?
Terry Randall, who played with me.
By Terry Randall?
Yes.
In tackles or something? You went in together or something? Or?
Yeah, well, he wanted to tackle everybody. You know, the few that I made, he came over the top and twice he selected me. Thanks very much. But tough place to win. But this Seagull side's a pretty resolute outfit, as they showed last week against the Roosters. And the Roosters' form last night was pretty good against the Melbourne Storm. I thought they were unlucky not to win. Nah, it'd be a great game at Leichhardt today, but I'm taking that easy, I'll tell you.
Hey, Zorba, I was contacted by an NRL official from a leading club, and he said basically he's been contacted by the Bulldogs and they have said, is there anyone in our 25 that you have any interest in?
Wow.
Yeah, they're in real trouble, aren't
really?
They?
Yep.
They're about to boil over both on and off the field, and how the mighty have fallen. We saw on Thursday night Souths beat the Bulldogs 28-14. Can you believe that 3 years ago they played in front of 83,833 at the same venue. 8,247 on Thursday night. It was an awful game. Mm. 10 losses from 12 now for the Dogs. I fear for my old mate Des. They're not giving him anything, and he's not getting much out of the players they've got. They all look just counting the days till the end. I hear the players going to sit on their dig and demand their money. And they won't go. So you can't blame them.
Yeah, which is there, right?
Yeah. Some of the players, you know, are on back-ended deals, and this is exactly what Manly is coming out of now. It's not good. It's a tough time. Even the players that are coming there, I mean, what is Aaron Woods and Kieran Foran, and what are they thinking at the moment?
Exactly, good point. Hey, so just a question without notice. You mentioned the crowd on Thursday night. Also, the Friday night 6 p.m. game, will they be there next year, the Thursday night games and the Friday night 6 p.m. games?
Well, the NRL have always said that their hands are tied because of contractual issues, and that's going to be the issue until that contract runs out. I'm not sure when it does, but they're both games.
Next year's a new broadcast deal, and the game takes control of the draw, except for a certain number of games. I think it's roughly 60 or 65 that are quarantined by the broadcasters.
Okay.
Mm. Look,
time slots, I don't know.
Some of the games that have been on too, like we had 1-2 last night. What on earth? Why weren't they being played on on a prime time on Friday night or today? I just can't work out the draw. It's a pack of poo ticket, and it's unfair, and it needs complete revision. But I've been talking about that for years. I wonder how the NRL and the AFL are feeling at the moment. Grand final promoter's nightmare. I mean, it could be in Sydney, Storm versus Broncos, two out-of-town teams. and in Melbourne, it could be Greater Western Sydney versus the Swans. Imagine if that happened.
It'd be fantastic for Sydney.
Well, I will say, if the NRL Grand Final is Broncos versus the Storm, the last time that happened in 2006, it was the most watched Grand Final of all time. And one of the reasons is Sydney will watch it anyway. Brisbane will watch it anyway, and if the Melbourne Storm's involved, then hundreds of thousands will watch that as well. So
it's got some upside for television.
Upside for television, yes.
Yeah, certainly has. The Broncos, I said last week, get on them. They're the side that will worry the Storm the most in a grand final. Their 32-10 win over the Sharks on Friday night was just a warning shot across the bows. They can get better than that. They play the Cowboys. The Sharks now are in a dogfight. They look as though they could miss the top four. They've got injuries. They may have suspensions. They've got the Cowboys away, the Roosters at home. And what was seemingly a fairly easy game, the Knights away, is now a much harder affair. They could miss the top four.
We're at the top eight, Sorb. Who's the team in most trouble? Cowboys were very brave last night, but you mentioned their injury toll. It's just mounting against them, it seems. They're in the danger zone.
We said 2 weeks ago that they would run out of steam.
Yep.
And really, when you look at them, they look as though they'll be lucky to finish on 30 points. And they've been on 28 for a couple of weeks now. They've got the Sharks at home next week. Well, you would think with the injuries they've got last night, on top of what they've already got, that they might struggle there. They play the West Tigers away. They know what morals to beat them. And then they play the Broncos at home. So they could remain on 28 points or get to a maximum of 30, and their for and against might see them out of it. So they could be the side to dip out. Penrith, as we said a few weeks ago, they'll get there. They're the side coming home strongly. And, you know, they have a vital match next week against the Raiders, which could decide the Raiders' fate and also their own fate. Then they play
the Dragons
at home and then Manly away. So they've got a tough draw coming in, but next week's a virtual grand final for them.
They've won six straight, Penrith, and they still haven't played that well. You know, that's the upside for them as well. I want to go back to a point you made, Zorb, and I'll get some answers from you. Who's to blame for the back-ended contracts at the Bulldogs, and will Des Hasler be the coach there in 2018?
I can't see how he's going to survive. I love Des. He's one of my best mates on this planet, but I can't see how he's going to survive.
No, I agree with you. I think it's just a matter of time until they work something out there. Remember, Andrew Hill was announced as the new CEO. Or whether it happened, he's not going to start until after the Rugby League World Cup.
He's got a job and a half to do, hasn't he?
Yeah. Des does the back-ended contracts. You experienced that when he was at Manly.
Well, unfortunately, the record says so.
Yes, that's right.
Yep, can I just get off Rugby League 1 sec? I just want everyone to feel good today. If they haven't seen it, have a look at Sally Pearson in her first major competition since 2014. The after-run celebration is to die for. She's an inspiration to everybody in Australia that's been down and out to get up off your backside and train like she does. And wow, what a celebration. Just unbelievable.
She's 30 years of age.
It's amazing.
And we were talking about it, Rona, we were talking about it, Zorb, watching the celebration, just to see how loaded up she is with fast twitch fibres.
It's extraordinary.
It's just power.
But boys, what about the polar opposites of sport? Sally Pearson, and then just moments later, Zorb, the exit of Usain Bolt from his athletics career.
Yeah, well,
highs and lows of sport.
Yeah. Absolutely, and it doesn't go on forever, does it?
No, exactly.
I think Bolt, if he wanted to and wanted to get stuck into training again, could, you know, still be the greatest if he wanted to be. And he's up against a lot of drug cheats too. We don't know that he's ever delved into that area. Let's hope he hasn't. And, boy, the guy that beat him the other day is just an out-and-out drug cheat.
Twice.
What about last night, boys? I'm still getting over that game last night. I think the best side lost. I thought the Roosters with Cordner back and they're both their captains back last night, really.
Friend.
With Cordner and Jake Friend. I thought they were fantastic last night.
Great effort.
Gee, there were some controversial decisions in that. Yeah. How Ferguson finished the game, I'll never know. What about him being tackled mid-air and no penalty? And I feared for him then. I thought that was his season. How he played out, I don't know. Then you've got the double knees up Mother Brown from Vunivalu. What was he thinking? Was he trying to hurdle them?
It looked like it, didn't it?
Or what was it? But, yeah. I mean, he's got a charge to face.
Mm.
That's the strangest thing I think I've ever seen from anyone running the football in rugby.
How high did he jump, though?
But it was extraordinary.
Crazy.
Imagine the players in defence when you've got this thing flying through the air at you, holding the football, both knees coming your way, and the penalty try. My God.
Yeah.
You've got to be without any doubt at all. There was massive doubt about that being a penalty try. And the Roosters still led a couple of minutes from full time. I thought it was a brave effort last night in difficult conditions. Like the rain was pretty constant throughout the game. And in the end, 3-2, the Roosters scored after being down early 4-0 and then 10-0 with a couple of penalties coming for the Melbourne Storm. The penalties at one stage were 8-1, I think they were against the Roosters at one time, and they still nearly won the game. So I reckon that they'll be coming home this morning and their coach will be feeling pretty good. I think that Trent Robertson would be feeling that, you know, if they meet again, it could be a terrific game.
Yeah, Roosters fans are used to that type of penalty count, I've got to say. I thought Mick Ennis summed up the penalty try. He said, should have been a penalty, 10 minutes in the sin bin, but no way a penalty try. And the fact that Trent Robinson didn't make one mention of it in the press conference afterwards is an instruction for all coaches out there, that no matter how disappointed they are after a game. I want to ask you, Zorb, Brett Stewart, he's going to get a send-off from the NRL. Are the Manly going to do something for him at Lotto Land?
I understand it's in the pipeline, yes.
Okay, so final home game this year?
Hopefully.
And Steve Maddai?
Well, Steve's moved north, so we're not sure about Steve. But there's been a lot of discussion going on, and also we want to send out Matty Ballon, who we didn't get the chance to a couple of years ago.
Yeah, sure.
No, all great servants to the club.
So yeah, and that'd be good.
Mm. So I'll just quickly back to Friday night. Opportunity lost for Parramatta, wasn't it, against the Knights? Well done to Nathan Brown, and the Knights have had a terrible season, but they're finishing strongly, so there's promising signs there. But for Parramatta and the Eels fans...
Parramatta were arrogant.
Oh, yeah. Opportunity lost.
Ray, I thought they were absolutely arrogant, the way they attempted to just bully Newcastle, and they were going to have nothing of it. And a couple of tries early should have put them back into... I think you'd be pretty happy with that. Not happy, but I think it will bring Parramatta back to earth. And a couple of their players, one in Kenny Edwards, he sails close to the wind every game.
Yep.
He's always, and the coach has said he wants him to continue playing that way. Well, it can come back and bite you. Para need to get back on the bike pretty quick.
Yeah. Now, were the RLPAs talking about all sorts of protests that potentially they might do? One of them is the Dally M, and that hurts them. The other one is a boycott of the captain's call. That hurts the NRL. The other one is a boycott of the grand final fan day. Now, that hurts the fans, and that will make the fans turn against you.
Look, it's a difficult one. We've been across this for a couple of years. Once they got a bit of clout, and they will come in numbers, the players now, I think we'll see an agreement this week. I hope so.
Yep.
The game is not travelling that well at the moment that it can afford to have, you know, a standoff between the players and the administrators in the game. There's surely some common ground in there.
Zappa's got home no problem last week. Manly at the $2 and Penrith at the -9.5 head-to-head. What about this week?
So I'm very confident again at the line Canberra and at the line Manly all up. Yeah, both sides playing really good football, and I think they'll be too good for their opponents today. The Warriors, boy, we've spoken about them enough this year, and they're in absolute disarray. But you know, as Newcastle has shown, any side can beat any other side on a given day.
All right, Canberra -10.5 into Manly -6.5. That's $2 into $1.90. So there you go, one for the listeners. We appreciate that, Zorb. We'll speak next week.
Okay, good on you, boys.
See you, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters, with all the latest in rugby league. Let's take a break. After that, we'll have a chat with Brett Kavanagh, Michael Hawks, and then, of course, we've got the update to the Z&Z quiz. Current score, 15-all.
It's the New South Wales Racehorse Owners Association's flagship event.
Racing's Night of Champions 2017.
A night of glitz, glamour and fun.
And you're invited this Thursday.
Thursday at the Royal Randwick Ballroom. Dinner, beverages and entertainment all included at $240 per person.
Be there when the winners are announced at the New South Wales Racing Industries Night of Nights.
Book now at nswroa.com.au or call 9299 4299.
You need more cash flow for your business, but the bank says no.
You want to use it to attract new customers, but the banks still say no.
You've got a great track record and a strong credit score, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Dynamic Syndications, in alliance with Gay and Adrian, offer a fantastic comp produced from combining a champion racehorse with a multiple stakes winning mare. Buy All Too Hard, champion 3-year-old and 4-time Group 1 winning half brother to Black Caviar. He's now a wonderful young sire. Our comp's from the brilliant Galapagos Girl, a multiple Group 3 winner and Group 1 placed. Join our dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this superb colt. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Proudly Australian-owned and family-operated, Raymond. Garlow's pies are the best premium quality pies. Now, you've known this because every winter they advertise with us here, they but do. I don't think they were advertising before you went away.
So they're back.
They're back.
Any sample of the sponsors? Pie?
Yes, there are.
Any left?
That's a different question. There are on a Friday, and they go pretty quickly around here. The difference with a Garlow's pie is it's deliciously flaky pastry on top, a bottom that's rolled extra thin, and the filling full of 100% lean Aussie beef. These pies are bursting with flavour. Garlow's pies are available in all Coles and IGA stores. If you can't find them, please go and ask for Garlow's pies by name, but do it sensibly. You don't want to walk in there Ray Thomas style and say, "Hey, where are my Garlow's pies?"
Can you imagine me doing that?
Never. No. If you can't find them, please ask for them by name. A magnificent range including the lean beef, the curry beef and the chicken breast pies, past the Garlow's family pies, the Cornish pasties, the junior pies and the world-famous sausage rolls, just to name a few. Garlow's pies, they're thin on pastry. They are big on meat.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Feeling peckish after that. Gallows pies ad.
What we used to do last year, remember, we hid them on a Friday for the Sunday show. Mm. You need an insider working for us.
And there was still none there when I got in. That was your breakfast.
Don't be like that, right? Come on.
I reckon this man ate well last night because he did a fantastic job to get another sin to win the Tab Highway on debut. First time it's been done in over 2 years of Tab Highways. And
isn't that good?
Trainer Brett Kavanagh has been good enough to join us. Brett, good morning. Congratulations. And I know it was a bit of a gamble sending a horse into a Tab Highway on debut, but this horse had shown you so much on the training track. Good morning, Brett.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Terrific. And is that the key, is it, Brett, just how much this horse had showed you in track work and barrier trials that you were prepared to take that gamble yesterday?
Yeah, look, we try to bring in 15 or 20 horses at a time and work them as a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can start pairing them up and trying to sort out the wheat from the chaff, as they say.
Yep.
And we use a GPS system and just measures stride length and pop speed. And this horse has just always poked his eye out at us that he's had good speed. He's got a big motor and he could hold it. You know, he could sustain it for 600, obviously, yesterday. I think he broke 34 again off the top yesterday. So he was one of three or four that we got at the moment, but he was just ready on the day. We just had to go with him. You know, he's like a cook. Like a good chocolate cake, he was cooked and ready to eat. We had to go.
How'd you go during the protest, Brett?
No, I was okay about it. I thought the stewards got it right. And don't worry, I've been in their batting trying to win them when we've run second and making up all the excuses in the world yesterday. But Ty angled across us and caused a significant bump, probably 250, 270. And then we sort of, I think he put my horse off balance and dictated to him into the fence. And it is what it is, you know. We ended up with the money and they ran second.
Yeah, I think the stewards did get it right there, Brett, as well. Look, he's not the biggest horse in the world, Brett, but he's obviously got a lot of ticker and terrific race sense. So where do you go now with another sin?
I've seen my wife put a couple of emails in front of me on the breakfast bench here with HK on them. So
okay. A couple of offers
we'll
coming
probably,
in.
Yeah. We'll talk to the owners, maybe get his knees and fetlocks x-rayed for our own belief and,
okay. Yeah.
You know, peace of mind. And if he's sound, well, then we might entertain selling him.
Yeah. Sometimes money speaks, doesn't it?
Any numbers on those emails that have come from Hong Kong other than the dates?
No, there's no numbers. There's no numbers. There's just a couple of bloodstock agents and a couple of guys themselves. But I've been down this path before with three or four colts, and you know the X-rays and the examinations to get them to Hong Kong's pretty tough. So you don't get excited about it.
Yeah, right. Speaking of numbers, $14 to $3.20 was the numbers that were going around yesterday, and I saw there was a photo of you, Brett, with Glenn Munsey, who had his pockets turned out, and I think you cleaned him out. And I think you mentioned earlier you ended up with the money. How much?
No, look, I don't know. The owners jumped into him, you know, with the way that the bookmaker set up with the corporates these days. I don't know what sort of figures the guys got out of him, but I did see a tweet from Dominic Byrne last night. It was an interesting one. He's take this back 20 or 30 years ago when there was 30 or 40 bookmakers at Randwick. You know, you might have walked out with $1 million. That was his quote.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, look, I think some of the boys are happy to have a couple of thousand on him at 10s and 14s and 8s and, you know,
very nice.
Some pretty happy, be some pretty happy barbecues in Albury today.
I think so, yeah.
Is that where they're from, the owners?
Yeah, they're from everywhere. The Yenda Pub. There's a couple of boys from the Yenda Pub. We've got a punter syndicate.
Oh, yeah.
And mate of mine, Cameron Adcock, Western Queensland, Warren Watts. There's just a bunch of. I don't think any of them know one another, so it's, they're probably just guys that I've come across in a walk of life.
Oh, right.
I'll get to get them a good drink today, maybe.
Do they like travelling Hong Kong?
If they sell it, they won't be, I don't think.
No, look, and it was quite ironic. Dewporth, Cameron Adcock and I own him, and we sent him down to Stuart Lamont, agreed to take him at Caringles, and he had three winners yesterday. So,
Yeah, right.
It was a pretty fruitful day for Kevin Racing.
No, well done, Brett. Hey, Brett, just say another sin stays in your stable, and I hope he does. As you said yesterday, you could potentially knock off three or four tab highways with this horse, because he's obviously pretty good, and still have a horse eligible for the country championships heats early next season, because the prize money is just so good for these tab highways.
Oh, look, it's fantastic country racing at the moment. You know, look, there's a few horses coming in the door for that very reason. You know, country prices, get horses trained in the country. We've got these showcase meetings, $40,000 maidens. I think we just sent five horses to Narromine this morning, you know, 16,000 to the winner. So it takes a bit of beating. Our mate Peter, he's got Victoria off the bitten prize money. He's run a pretty good shop from a trainer's point of view.
What's the best at Narromine?
I think they can all win. There's a bit of confidence.
Okay,
for you.
Yeah, I like that. So where's
they'll be all around the money. They'll be hard to beat. They'll be well ridden. They'll fit.
Well, topical tip for
and
Tanya and I.
There, you know, I think I got a bit lippy last night. Someone said, hey, can they all win five? I said, yeah. They said, you ever trained five? I said, yeah, a couple of times.
There you go. Well, topical tip for Tanya and I. Race one at Narromine there is Eiffel Tower. We're on that a couple of weeks ago, Jim.
There you go.
We're on the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Brett. Congratulations, mate, on that win yesterday. Very exciting for the stable. And as Ray says, let's hope another sin does stay in the stable and you can enjoy the horse running around again. Must have been great fun yesterday. Appreciate your time this morning too, Brett.
See you next Saturday, boy.
Good on you, Brett. Thanks, mate.
There you go, Brett Kavanagh.
Well, wouldn't great run there. The Monstars flying, another sin's promising, horses winning everywhere.
No, that's great, isn't it?
Having a great time. Great
Now, we've got to give some tickets away, Raymond, to... The members stand at Royal Randwick next week for the Warwick Stakes. Winx has returned to the track. She's won how many on the trot?
17 now. Yeah.
17, right.
Was that our second question? You just gave it away. What do I think of a second question now? That's okay. I'll think of one. You just gave it away.
Why is Jeremy shaking his head at me? All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll defer to you here. Ray, ask a question about
Winx. Okay. Who rode Winx when she won the first of those 17 consecutive wins? It
Good
was the
question.
Sunshine Coast Guineas 2 years ago. Who rode Winx in that race?
So call now if you want to win the tickets to the members' entrance to Royal Randwick next week, 1353 53. In the next hour, there'll be another question about Winx.
Jarlow's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Jarlow's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including Jarlow's Junior Sausage Roll 12 packs, just perfect for that next birthday party, Mum. Jarlow's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, please ask for Jarlow's by name. At Jarlow's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Courtesy of the ATC.
When it says on air, that means we've got to talk.
Now, those two tickets to Warwick Stakes next week for the running of Winks at Royal Randwick have gone to Don at Constitution Hill. So
correct.
Thank you to Tracy at the ATC.
Yes, lovely Tracy.
Yeah,
is helping
the
us
lovely
out,
Tracy.
Yeah.
And, of course, the answer was 17. No, that was the answer the other way.
the answer was
Larry Cassidy.
Correct. You're on the ball. You're not feeling well, are you, mate? So.
I was joking then, Ray.
I know, yeah. Hey, look, Jimmy, and listeners, for the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man, Jimmy?
The man from Mazda.
Because Penrith Mazda have over 300 new cars in stock over 5 acres. And Penrith Mazda's BT50 Ute Centre has over 50 utes on display. Let them package you a great deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in Cafe Zoom while your car is serviced as well. See the Mazda experts today. Penrith Mazda were 2016 Mazda Master Dealers. Hot favourites win it again this year, by the way, too, Jimmy.
Oh, very short. They're thinking about closing the market.
Correct. Winks odds here. Yeah. They're family-owned and operated. Mulgar Road, Penrith, MD18808.
It's English and Fell Swoop fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it 3 in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgar Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Well, Team Hawks have got an excellent team going into the spring, and they've got one horse that you'd love to own, Jim, a horse called Kingsguard. He's always thereabouts. He's always in the money. He did the job again yesterday, beating some promising horses after a Gun Jay Ford ride, and Michael Hawks has been good enough to join us. Michael, good morning, and is that a fair description of Kingsguard, Michael, one of those horses you'd just love to own?
Morning, Ray, Jimmy. I think that's a fair description. You know, he's honest, he's consistent. Obviously, when we got him over from New Zealand, he was a maidener and had some good form coming out of there. And probably fair to say that he's just taken a little bit of time, and he's probably got better as he's got older, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was your take on the race, too? As Ray mentioned, great ride from Jay Ford, but Washington Heights and Tom Melbourne all had, reasons, or if you back them, you'd be a little unlucky. How did you see it, Michael?
Look, first and foremost, you've got to give credit where credit's due, and I think Jay Ford produced the ride of the day yesterday on that horse. And
good call.
You know, everyone has their fair criticisms and over time, but, it was an outstanding ride. He'd done everything right. He waited for the gap to come. Now, look, yes, there might be some hard luck stories in the race, but you know what? We've been there before. We've had
sure.
it too. So,
yeah.
Yesterday was our day, and end of story.
Michael, you've got a fit horse right now. He's racing very, very well. To be fair, he's probably no world beater, but is there what's his best distance? Because I'm thinking, could he get away with a stakes race like a rolling mile in a couple of weeks?
Look, his best distance, Ray, we've always thought he might get a bit further, but,
yep.
1,400, 1,500 to a mile is probably his distance. Mm-hmm. Even last start at Randwick is probably not really his track because... look, Randwick, they ride different. They attack you from the 600, whereas at least at Rose Hill, they can sort of leave you alone a bit. And, probably last start, he had to make use of the barrier. And by the time he got there, he only had relaxed for, a good half a furlong. Then they're off again and you're at him. So, horses compound like he did. Look, he's a consistent horse, they're $100,000 races this time of year. Okay, it's going into a bit better stuff now. But, look, he's got a decent win in him. We're just going to find that race. And, look, whether it's a Rolling Mile or one of those other races coming up. But, you know, he's consistent. He's in great form. And I think, as I said earlier, the older he's getting, the better he's getting because, you know, go back when we first got him, he probably wouldn't take those gaps when push asked to go through yesterday and push into it. He'd probably suck out of it, if anything. So he's probably, you know, the older he's got, the better he's got. So, look, there's a way to go yet. He's sound. He's, you know, he's a great horse. He's done the owner's Windsor Park proud. You know, he's won 230,000-odd in prize money. So it's going to be a lot more winning that over here than it is in New Zealand, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of wins in New Zealand to get that amount of money. hey, Michael, this time of year, the weather starts to turn. The good horses are coming back. Is there a more energy in the yard? It's, you know, I'm amazed that you guys get up so early, you work so hard, did you start to get a spring in your step when you get the carnival time come around?
Yeah, you do. It's, you know, we're fortunate enough, we've got a lot of nice horses in our system, and of late, you know, it's been a bit up and down, but we've had a lot of babies through the system and up and down the highway to Melbourne, so, you know, that takes a bit of time, and everyone goes through that process and that system. But I suppose when the better quality of horse that have been produced, you know, Inferences, Euro Angel, Chautauquas, you know, Chauffeurs, Disillusions, those sort of horses that are in the stable at the moment, you know, especially in Sydney.
Yeah.
Look, it does put a spring in your step. You know, I'm here this morning. It's a cracking morning this morning at Rose Hill. And, you know, it's what you get up for and that's what you work hard for. So, you know, we've got horses trialling this week and, you know, going into the spring and, you know, we might have a massive, massive team, but we've got a good base of a team.
Just a quick one, Michael. I was going to ask about Chautauqua in a sec, but I saw a horse win yesterday, and I'm terrible pronouncing names, at Newcastle. Mahalingar, is that close?
Mahalingar.
Looked impressive, Michael. I know it's only a maiden at Newcastle, but first start, did the job impressively, attacked the line. Looks a nice horse.
Yeah, he is a nice horse, Ray. Look, the reason we went there was to give him a kill. He's still a baby. He's had two really good trials. He had a good grounding for yesterday. But once again, you've got to give credit where credit's due. Kobe Jennings went up there for us, and it was just a plum of a ride. You know, he went to come out on the corner and obviously wasn't going good enough and decided to tuck back in behind Chris Waller's horse and, you know, just held him together and let him balance and then peeled out at about 150 to go and put pay to him. So, look, he's a really nice horse in the future. He's still a baby. He's going to be better next time round. But, look, he's a horse with some upside. I know you can only win, but that's why he went there for. And, you know, everyone saw his trials and he got the job done. So, look, he's pulled up well this morning. He's nice and bright. But whether we go on and give him another run or whether we give him a break, we'll just decide next couple of days. But, look, for the future, yeah, hopefully, you know, that sort of horse can hopefully turn into something.
He's a nice horse.
Yeah. Michael, new event on the calendar. It's on October 14. It's called the Everest. Apparently there's a bit of dough up for that. People are talking about it. People are not talking about it, trying to position themselves. We had Gerald Ryan on earlier just not talking about Minari to the Everest because he wanted the Everest to come to him. $4.60 favourite is Chautauqua. How's he looking in the preparation for this big event?
Oh, I'm glad you just told me about that because I didn't really know that. Yeah, he's great. He's ticking over beautiful. He's just, look, he's happy in himself. He trains himself, you know. We just step him out and he knows what to do. He's a quirky sort of horse and he goes through his routine. But he's done everything right. He looks a pitcher. He's spelled really good. He's big, round. Physically, he's better. Everyone knows the ability he has. So, look, he's just... I think the biggest thing is maturity. I think that's the biggest key to this bloke. He's just got mature as he's got older. We always said last prep, you know, the next prep will be better and better again. But, you know, you keep telling yourself, how does a horse get better? But I think it's more maturity side kicking in now. And he's ticking over beautiful. You know, we're looking forward to the Everest. It's a new concept. Everyone's talking about it. You know, obviously he's the pin-up horse and we're lucky to have him. But going forward for racing, it's a good talking point. Everyone's talking about it. You know, Minari won super yesterday. He was a very, very good horse. And, you know, you like to see those colts come back and do it. And he had a big weight too and he put pay to him. And, you know, I know we ran fourth in the race with Overshare and, you know, he had a bit of a torrid run. He had to work hard. But, you know, the three horses in front of him, they're all good colts. So going forward, it's going to be a nice race. But, look, there's going to be a lot happen between now and then, and there'll be horses thrown up in and out, up and down. There'll be horses from Melbourne and Queensland. So, you know, it's a great concept. We're looking forward to it, and we're right where he needs to be at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. It's exciting times, isn't it, Michael?
Absolutely. Look,
terrific for the stay with Kingsguard yesterday, and Mahalan Gur. I'm hopeless with names, but he's a horse I want to follow. And obviously the great horse is not far away, Chautauqua. Michael, good luck during the spring, and thanks for joining
us
this morning.
Thanks, boys.
Chautauqua, $4.60. She Will Reign, $6. We're trying to get an update on She Will Reign. Apparently, spot on, right on target. That's is the word coming out of the stable too, so we can look forward to that. Thanks, Michael Hawkes, there for having a chat. 1353 53 is the open line number. Just before we go to a break, and we'll have Dean Ritchie and then the ZenZ quiz score update, 15 all. Doug's on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. Doug. What do you got for us?
Oh, that Nathan Cleary, did he save a tackle last night the way he's been playing in his first grade, you know?
What a tackle on
the
Callum
tackle
Hess.
Was unbelievable.
A try save on a man twice his size.
Yes.
What a fantastic tackle. And he scored a try. He got two tries, four goals, couple of try assists. Yep. He can play, Doug.
Ask you the question, would he be eligible to play for Australia or the Origin match? Is he too young, you reckon?
He's eligible.
He's in the frame next year for sure. Got to be for Origin. Has to be.
Yeah, I can put me $100 on that. I hope he does go on.
I think he will.
Well, Gus doesn't want him to be. He doesn't want him selected. In fact, he didn't want any Panthers players in that system, did he, Gus?
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see, Dougie. But the way he's continued his improvement, the composure that he shows for a man of his age playing in such a position. I mean, last night was just a clear indication that if Penrith were to sign him, as reported, on a 5-year, $3 million deal at $600,000, he is being paid unders by almost 50%.
Yeah, he is a gun. You build your club around him,
don't
you?
He's a million-dollar player.
You build your club around him.
Yeah. Good on you, Dougie.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks,
Doug.
Call, mate.
He brings so much to a team. As a goal kicker, his defence, he plays above his weight. He's terrific. He's fearless.
He kicks at 90%.
What's that worth? It's extraordinary.
The kicking game as well. He's got a running game.
Combination with Moylan's just developing. It's potent.
I think we've got to put our hand up, Ray, and say you and I are both members of the Nathan Cleary fan club.
Correct.
Time for a break, 13:53:53. Dean Ritchie next, and then, of course, the ZNZ quiz score update.
It's a 15-all, is it?
15-all.
Where's producer Jeremy?
Jockey Tommy Berry has climbed the mountain in Australia.
Here he comes! Chautauqua! Boom! Right over the top!
Now it's time to take to the world stage.
A confident Tommy Berry.
Tommy and his family leave shortly to base themselves in Hong Kong.
Woo! Get the winners on the board, I was so happy.
This Thursday morning from 9 on Racing HQ, it's your chance to farewell Tommy. He'll be in the studio taking calls on 13:53:53. On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Can't choose between your favourite runners? Place a $3 mystery box trifecta on Trackside. And if your three runners finish first, second or third in any order, you win 50% of the trifecta dividend.
Visit your local tab to play Trackside.
Gamble responsibly.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda, with 300 new cars in stock over 5 acres. Penrith Mazda VT50 Youth Centre with 50 youths on display. Let us package you a great deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in our Cafe Zoom while your car is serviced. See the Mazda expert today. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer, family owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
It's amazing. It's not even a reflection of your or my sporting knowledge. It's just who gets which caller. And yet, it has caused so much controversy.
For how many years now?
ZenZ Jewelers. Thanks, John. ZenZ Jewelers have been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So, if you want the official watch of your team or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, we've been saying this for a long time, they are fantastic. If you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, see Alan at ZNZ, Westfield Hurstville, or visit the website, ZNZ.com.au. That's ZNZ.com.au. They are the proud sponsors of the St. George Junior Referees.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just before we get to Dean Bulldog, Richie, if you'd like to be part of the ZNZ quiz today, call now on 1353 53. Call now on 1353 53. Score update? I'm on 15 and you're on 15, Ray.
Okay. We'll go with that. We'll go with that.
Yeah. What do you mean, go with that? That's the score.
When I left, it was 15-12, wasn't it?
No. It was 15-13.
Okay, I'll go 15-13.
No, it's 15-all. I beat Dave Stanley twice.
You're a hard man. You're a very hard man. We're going to bring Dino in now and talk some sensible rugby. Good morning, Dino.
Good morning, boys.
And, mate, we were talking about earlier, the Thursday night, and I asked Zorba whether there'd be changes to the NRL calendar next season, particularly the Thursday night games and that 6 p.m. game on a Friday night, which I've hated since the start of it.
Yeah, you've never been a fan of that.
You can't get to watch it. Only 8,000 turned up on Thursday night, Dino. There's worrying signs with crowd figures on these nights.
Yeah, certainly Thursday, right. I was at that game covering it. The 8,000 might have been a bit generous as well, but to be fair, they were two sides that have been struggling, I guess. If we want to try to paint some sort of positive on it, but look, crowds have been down all year Thursday and, of course, that 6 p.m. Friday. You know, look, we have to remember here, we've all got to just keep our powder dry to some degree. I mean, Nine and Fox paid $2 billion for the TV rights and they need time slots. They need content. We often think it's about crowds and the look that it portrays, and I agree with that. But we've also got to remember that, you know, the big, big money in rugby league, the major stakeholder is television. And you know, while they're paying $2 billion, they need content.
I love taking my boys to the footy. I would never contemplate going on a Thursday night just because it's too late. It's too late on a school night. So that takes it out.
Kickoff's supposed to be at 7:50. It's never on time. We know that.
Yeah.
It doesn't finish till nearly 10 o'clock.
Correct. That's right.
9 o'clock, rather. No, 10 o'clock, rather.
10 o'clock,
so, I mean,
yeah.
You're
10 o'clock.
Possibly taking kids on a school night in the cold, and get them home and get them to bed and get them up the next morning. It's just not made for children at all, probably not even adults. But look, I'm sure if you went to Channel 9 and asked them about their ratings, they'd say they're strong.
Yeah, and then you know what the funny thing is? I was there at University of Wollongong Jubilee Oval yesterday. I sat on the hill. First time I'd ever sat on the hill at the southern end and watched the first half of the footy there because I had my young bloke with
me.
It was a great day, and you know, I thought to myself, this is so suburban.
It is,
and I thought that was a strength and a weakness.
We love day footy. All of us love day footy. We grew up on day footy, but you know, at night time, again, that's when the ratings are.
That's right.
It doesn't rate strong during the day. Mm-hmm. And we all love going to our suburban grounds on Sundays, but you know, it just doesn't pull the ratings that these stations need. I mean, look, I see that the Dragons and the Bulldogs have come to some sort of initiative to try to boost crowds in the round 26 game. Ticket price of $25. And $40 for family, $3 pies, free transport to the game. Let's just try and do something to boost these crowds. I mean, they're down this year. The average crowd, I think, 14,832. I mean, we predicted rugby league about 5 or 6 years ago that by 2017 we'd be hitting the 20,000 mark.
Yeah.
We're miles short. The game's just not growing crowd-wise. In fact, it's actually going backwards.
But the TV ratings are good, aren't they?
I'll improve the Bulldogs crowds by 25% immediately. Sack Des Hasler.
Oh, that's for you to say, Jimmy. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't expect you to say it, Dean. I don't expect you to say it. But I'm telling you that there is widespread dissatisfaction in the Bulldogs with the manner in which they play. Yes, it's disappointing to lose, but look at the Knights. Mm. They lose. They were running last. But it's the way in which they play. I guarantee you, if you change the way the Bulldogs played, that you would increase the crowd.
Dino, before you answer, this is an SMS from one of our listeners, David from Wattlegrove. Boys, the Bulldogs are worse than I thought. They even made South look good.
They did.
I'm not arguing, but I mean, are you saying Sack Des to boost crowds? Is that what you're saying?
No, change of playing style.
No, I'm not saying Sack Des to boost crowds.
Change the way they play.
Well, Des will probably, I would say it's a 95% chance that Des will lose his position before 2018.
He knows he's got to win a couple of games. I mean, they've won two from the last, I think it's 12, isn't it?
Yes.
They've got Parramatta Thursday night. Then they've got the Gold Coast. So I think certainly that Gold Coast game, one that they'll target to win.
Dean, that's funny you say that. When was the last time the Bulldogs targeted to win a game against the Gold Coast and not targeted to win every game?
Correct. It's funny, though, Jimmy, when you sit back and take a really rational approach to it, a guy like Hasler, who's been there every year since 2004, misses it for the first time, and everyone wants him gone. When you think about it rationally, in any other sport in the world, it just wouldn't be happening.
No, I am thinking about it rationally, and it's a good point that you make. And look, Des Hasler is an outstanding coach, and his record is unbelievable. But the way the Bulldogs are playing this year...
But he doesn't have halves, Jimmy. He can't play another style.
Dean, he's been there for 5 years, and he's had the opportunity to recruit halves.
100%. I agree with that. Des is in charge of recruitment and retention, so he's going to wear the blame. Having said that, this year, if we take that to one side for one moment, you can't play a style that you want if you don't have the cattle to implement that. And when you've got guys there who are just aren't up to it halves-wise in first grade, there's not much more he can do. There's just no spark there. I never can see that. You don't have to be Einstein to work it out.
Look, we've got to get going. We've got the quiz coming up, mate. But signing news around?
Yeah, just quickly, Jimmy, Adam Blair. Very interested there. But I think you'll find that the Warriors are throwing some big bucks at Blair. So it wouldn't be surprising if he is across the Tasman to his homeland next year. Greg Eastwood, I told you last week, Newcastle interested there, but perhaps the Sharks now circling as well as a possible suitor for Greg Eastwood. Now, very quickly, Jimmy, the changes.
Yes.
Warriors, Raiders, Mount Smart, 2 o'clock, Kieran Foran out of the Warriors side. Atta Ingano, the replacement there.
Yep.
The Raiders are 1 through 17, and the 4 o'clock game out there at Leichhardt. Tigers versus Manly, Chris Lawrence-Peck out for the Tigers. Michael Cheekham in Manly. Should be 1 through 17. Matt Wright has a shoulder injury, but they do expect him to play.
Great job, Dino. We'll speak next week.
See you, boys. Cheers.
See you, mate.
Dean Bulldog, Richie with all the latest in the world of rugby league. Let's go. Raymond, are you player
can,
one?
You
I'll go player one. All right, John's here. G'day, John.
G'day, mate. How you doing?
Really well. Who scored the first try in Thursday night's Rabbitohs v Bulldogs NRL match? Bryson Goodwin, Alex Johnston, or Aaron Gray?
Alex Johnston.
Johnny, it was Bryson Goodwin.
That was a bad start.
Yeah, it was. Put it out of your mind. Think positive. Question two. Who made the most tackles for the Bulldogs in that same game? Was it Aidan Tolman, James Graham, or Moses Mbai?
Tolman.
Yeah, we call that the Adrian question. Thank you for that. Well done. Question three. The 2017 FIS Grass Skiing World Cup was held in Italy. And which other country? Was it the Czech Republic, Austria, or Spain?
Czech Republic.
Yeah, see, Austria's an obvious one for that one. They love their grass skiing down there in Austria.
Where's Jeremy Fine? Over there in Austria. Extraordinary, anyway.
Yeah.
Richard, you on the line?
What?
Yeah, Richard, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, boys.
Yeah, good morning, Richard. One to tie, two to win, best of luck. Who ran for the most metres for the Rabbitohs in Thursday night's NRL match against the Bulldogs? Was it Zane Musgrove, Alex Johnston, or Tom Burgess?
Alex Johnston.
Yeah, Tom Burgess. Okay, question number two. Who missed more tackles for the Bulldogs in that same game? Was it Chase Stanley, James Graham, or Moses Mbai?
Chase Stanley.
Moses Mbai, okay.
All right, mate, I'm laughing at you, Richard. Yeah, don't worry.
This is to lock it up, Richard. I've got faith in you. Here we go, mate. Which city will host next January's Four Continents Figure Skating Championships? Taipei, Moscow, or Nagoya?
Moscow.
Yeah.
As Jimmy would say, Taipei was the obvious one there.
Clearly. When I think figure skating, I think Taipei.
Don't you? It's automatic. It's like strawberries and cream, isn't it?
That's right.
Where does Jeremy find these?
None from three there for Richard. One from three will be good enough to win it, Johnny boy. Who's your team?
The Knights.
Oh, you want a winner? I had a big weekend.
Three
for you.
On the trot. Yeah. Now you get a win in the quiz. How good's that?
Oh, can't believe it.
Mate.
Good on you, mate.
That's awesome. Stay on the line, Johnny. We'll get your details. We'll send you out a watch in the Knights colours, courtesy of ZNZ. So there you go. Now, which makes me move to my book, cross out 15 for me and write in 16.
Can I just say the lovely Margaret from Albury's chimed in?
Oh, what's Margaret from Albury got to say for
Jimmy,
herself?
Put it over the inexperienced ones while you were away. So Margaret always contributes very thoughtful, insightful.
Yeah, but Margaret, Margaret, do you think that I should not have been given the 2 points? Yes, Dave Stanley was an inexperienced quiz player. I don't think there's any doubt in that. No one could have more experience than you, Ray. But the facts of the matter are, Davey had a loss.
Rank and it's
no, Davey had a loss. We had a win. Yeah. Guys,
horrendous.
We're talking about crowds here with Dean Bulldog Richie. Guys, I'm a rugby league through and through, but I haven't been to a game in 5 years. I pay $100 a month for Foxhall. That's all I can afford. Plus, I can buy beer, and it's still cheaper. That's from Steve. Steve makes a very good point. Like, what has been served up on Fox League and, of course, Channel 9 as well from a free-to-air point of view? It's so good.
Mm.
Like, you're just there. The atmosphere can be great when you go to the game, and that's the challenge. But I tell you what, when you go to ANZ Stadium, and it's not a purpose-built rectangular stadium, and you're a long way from the action, makes it hard, Raymond.
On that theme, Chunky Tuna's chimed in. So what's the solution to the crowds on TV? Don't put those games on at some huge, cavernous stadium. 8,000 is suburban ground. Looks pretty good.
I always say, I've been saying, the 6 o'clock game on a Friday should go to a regional area, right?
Because
you get 10,000 at that game,
it'll come through
the television, it'll be awesome. I found out that the $75,000 cost to put on a game at any other stadium is borne by the broadcaster. You want to take a game to the bush? Cost the NRL $250,000.